playing on Spotify because there's a Wicked Ass song that came on. Alright? Keep track of it.
It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause them churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that mean you take a loss if you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas, oye cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history is the word. It's the power hour. Yeah, yeah, I am. Tune in to your history. You know it in your history. Power hour. Yeah, I am. You know what you're doing, love hour, how I was.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Yeah!
I didn't realize we changed the screen over.
Oh, God.
It's been like that, though, right? But today's like the first day I actually realized
it. Oh, it's like shifted?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It kind of threw me off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
No, I'm not saying you got changed or nothing like that. I just...
Right.
Just dawned on me today.
It's a little different.
It's because we also shifted this way a little.
We did. We actually elevated because we're a little higher up.
Uh-huh. So you didn't move the TV.
I did.
Oh.
Because it...
Stop playing games with my head, bro.
It's kind of like with the table.
Damn it.
The table. My center. Man.
Who are you, sir? How are you?
Yeah, who are you, sir?
I already said my name.
Oh. Officer Shot.
Officer Ruvain.
Ruvain.
Officer Tobias.
Officer Ruvain is back.
In the building.
He's...
What are you doing? I'm in. Hey, we good over here?
Hey. We got to send apologies first to Tristan First Moles because there was a Wicked song playing. All right. That's our apologies. We will get that fixed. There was a Wicked song playing. If y'all heard it, we will get that taken care of. We are aware of what happened. So,
right. So we use the Spotify, and sometimes Spotify won't stay in the playlist. It'll,
uh-huh.
Yep.
Like if you go past the playlist,
deviate.
It'll deviate and recommend something else.
Right.
Yep.
And it'll just play it. So, you know, no, it's no ass and iron sandwiches today.
Oh, damn, mercy.
Damn.
Hey, no, on another note, let us know where you're from.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if Moab's going to get it too hard today. I didn't really get to prepare all my Moab scriptures. Just a few.
Oh, that's right. Moab.
Just a few.
Esau going to get it. Moab going to get it. Y'all remember that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a few.
It's an older song, huh?
Where are they now?
Huh?
Where are they now?
Someone said, I did hear that. Yeah, that was a mistake. That was a mistake. So like the officer said, that was, we apologize for the brothers in the booth. All right.
What are they doing in the booth?
New booty in the booth. We do have one.
Are they new in the
Tobias
booth?
Don't know what he want to be. He got a Levi,
don't
chest plate.
Hold on.
He's from the tribe of Judah.
Put the camera on him.
And he's drinking a Jarito.
Yes.
It's One Nation.
Yeah.
What's this?
Hold on. Oh, man.
We cover earnestly the best gifts.
Look, he rocking the Levi.
Jarito.
With what?
He rocking the Levi necklace. He got the Jarito.
Uh-huh.
All right. And he's from Judah.
Yeah.
What's
your logic?
The priesthood changed, right, and
then
also
we
were all brought together and
stop it,
right. So we gotta,
you know, this just like his slides argument. What was that in song?
Slipping in the slides.
Thou shalt not slip in the slides.
And then he don't even get the right size
man,
slides. Bro.
I know.
He literally always slipping in the slides.
Literally. always slip.
Can I get a script?
Put my man. Oh, no. God. Put my man.
Hell no.
Hey, go to Telegram. I sent the picture. Put my man up, man.
Hey, let us know where you're from in the comments. Don't forget to like and share the broadcast.
Well, preview it first before you put it up.
Oh, God. Yes,
preview
please.
It first.
Oh, God.
Hey, so basically, Officer Tobias don't know if he want tacos or fried chicken.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
I want tacos. Don't do that.
So when Tobias was up in here, I looked at him for a second. He had, like, the shirt half unbuttoned and whatnot.
Damn.
So he was looking like your man
with the
Frank.
Taco meat.
He was looking like your man Frank from Scarface.
Man, put that on there.
looking like your man Frank from Scarface for a minute.
You know what?
Throw it up there. You can throw it up there.
That man.
He could throw I said, what the hell? You know what a hassa is, Frank? It's a pig that don't fly straight.
Damn.
Said, oh,
they got you, bro. That's a good one. That is a good one.
Deacon got that eye. With the reference to movies?
Yes.
He got that eye.
Yes, he does.
For real, though. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he
then
does.
Then we need to do a welcome.
Yes. Hey. So, We've increased our ranks.
Yes, we have.
All right, we got Officer Asher now relocated to Phoenix.
In the building.
Yes,
let's go.
Let's welcome. Let's do a round. Can we get the applause sound effect? Officer Asher, get it in. He about that camp life.
Uh huh.
He about putting in this work. Can we get that pickup of Officer Asher?
Hey.
All right. There he is at a camp altercation. Down there at the bottom. And that's how he rolls. And that's how he rolls.
I think one thing he learned real quick is nobody's going to be watching his nasty draws while he's here.
I was about to say that.
No, I just got to let it
you
be
know,
plain.
Who, right, who's, so, he, who's he rooming with?
He's rooming with me, and ain't so, no draws watching going on at
if you,
all.
If you know, throw the picture off his ass again, bro. If you know, you know. Officer Asher ain't going to let nobody touch one of his brothers.
Right.
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 You see him here trying to take a brother off another brother.
Right.
I think the brother on the left didn't like the image of Christ.
Right.
And there was right. some stuff going on there or something like that. So, you know, that's Officer Asher, all right?
Shout out to Officer Asher.
Shout out to Officer Asher. Hey. So, you know, I spoke about culinary acumen. I speak about that.
Yes.
Let's
go. Acumen. Yes. Oh, before you get to, can we do the sin of the night?
Wait. We're going to
come
back to that.
All praise.
I'm still just kind of shooting the.
You're shooting it.
I'm shooting the ish.
Okay.
I'm shooting the ish. Put up. Oh, wait, before you put it up, don't. But get it ready. The picture of the pepper.
Can't wait.
I've been meaning to show this. I don't know if you notice. Maybe you notice since you're every tribe.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, this?
Did you know a jalapeno and a chipotle pepper are the same pepper?
No.
I didn't know that.
No. When I think of chipotle, it's like...
I'm thinking like a red or an orange.
Bro, difference is one of them is fresh and one of them is dry.
Oh,
wow.
Jalapenos that are green are not fully ripe.
Oh.
They're red when they're ripe.
Wow.
And then they dry them, and that's how they make chipotles.
I didn't know that.
Bro, I mean, I'm not Issacar, so I wouldn't expect to know this.
Right.
But I would think, like, people who like Mexican food so much would understand this but aspect
I,
of it.
I don't like jalapenos.
Bro. I've been lied to.
Yeah,
I'm bamboozled. There was all this. Look, poblano peppers. Ancho peppers when they're dry.
Wait a minute.
Guajillo, I've heard of that, but it comes from a mirasol. I never knew that.
Ay, the mirasol.
Serrano, I know about, but I didn't know that a chili seco is a serrano.
Oh my God,
I knew about the Anaheim and the Colorado.
That one for sure.
You knew Anaheim was the Colorado.
Yes, because my mom would make that. She like. Let it dry and all that stuff.
That's
but crazy. I never put two and two together like this.
See, now I kind of messed it up. I probably should have asked all the Mexicans privately
right.
and see they know.
Because now they're going to be like, right. I knew that.
No, I knew the poblano, the ancho. I knew the Anaheim and the Colorado, but I didn't know the other ones.
I haven't heard of like half of the stuff on this page right here.
Nah.
Chilaca.
For real.
Chilaca.
Those are the only two I knew, really.
Despacito. So I know what a song.
Oh, that was your favorite reader, Princess Court. She said, whoever say you hate jalapeno, you're dismissed. Goodbye.
They don't like you no more,
Frank. Ooh, Frank,
see?
You're a hussa.
You see, you dibbling dabbling in
Frank,
too many tribes, bro.
You're a pig that don't fly straight.
You don't fly straight. You dip and dabble in too many tribes.
It's gotta be Judah.
You gotta make your mind up. Make your mind up, bro.
Bro, my mind was blown. I said, this can't be real. I have to look it up. I thought it was some Instagram bullshit.
Yeah, I thought
it was some Instagram BS. I thought it was some Instagram BS. And
damn.
I said, oh, my gosh, this is legit. I did not know. So here I'm thinking it's just a different type of pepper
right.
together.
Right. Because they don't even sound alike.
It's a transfigured pepper.
Damn. In the transfiguration.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. See, look, Lasha, Sister Lasha, I didn't know, and I miss a car. Sister Tabitha, I think she says she knows. I don't know. I see yes and B. I don't know if that means she knew, too. Wow. That's wild. Yeah, so just a little culinary acumen.
Yeah, for real.
For all of us.
Yeah, for real, though.
I would have thought everything on the left was a jalapeno.
Bruh, I just told you to chill.
I'm just...
Let me be my brother's
you know
keeper.
I'm just saying.
Let me be my brother's keeper.
Is that a Zarah Thalia? You didn't know that either.
Damn.
Don't front.
Hey. You ain't got the answer.
You
for
are me. Suspended from tacos for the rest of the month, all right?
Nah, I can't do that.
From the Issachar
that's
Council.
Like, that's like my wife last week talking about Bustelos Colombian. I told her like
right.
four times
damn.
Over the years that is Cuban.
Yes.
Right.
Hey, you know what else is another good, I think it's Cuban, too.
Café?
Pilon.
Pilon?
Like, you want strong coffee, like mm-hmm. stronger than Bustelo?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want some strong coffee? Café Pilon. I think it's Cuban, too. You want to put the picture up? If you don't know about Pilon.
P, there you go, right there. The middle one.
The middle one, yeah. Café Pilon.
So this Ooh. Is the culinary acumen segment.
That thing put, I'm talking about, like, as far as... Strength, like a strong, like
strong,
strong
it's
like
strong.
Strong, like strong.
Damn, with the scrimp,
like strength, right? Get some café pilon in your cup, all right? Get some café pilon in your
Let's
cup.
Let's go.
Some pilon in your cup.
Yes, bro. I'm telling you, that pilon. Café pilon. I think it's Cuban too.
Real
I think it's Cuban coffee too, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me
see. Yeah. See, hey, okay, Zana. A lot of people don't know about pilon. A lot of people don't know about pilon. Pilon is good, bro. Like when I'm real tired, like extra tired,
mm-hmm.
I grind up some pilon beans.
Café pilon.
And do a little Cubano Impata. Shot. I do Damn. A little Cubano
oh,
shot.
Oh, bro, that Cuban coffee that we got at the airport in Miami?
Cubano
bro,
shot.
I love that.
Oh, okay. All right. Sis Tabitha's keeping it. She said, yes, I did, but I found out later in life, Googling it. Oh, okay. She sells chili colorado. K-Cup pilon. I don't know. They probably do have K-Cup pilon. I don't know if that's going to be the same, though.
Cuban.
It is Cuban, right? Yeah, so Bustelo and Pilon,
mm-hmm.
Cuban, strong,
Cubano.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Okay.
Good stuff. And if you're ever in the Miami airport and you want some good Cuban coffee, you got to hit, what is it called again? La Cafeteria. La Cafeteria.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the name of the restaurant?
Yes, it's like in the D terminal, like
okay.
near the 30s, I think.
Okay.
Oof. They got the pastries, they got the coffee.
Ay, ay, ay.
The Cortadito. It's the little shower, the little hot steam milk. It's good stuff. It's good.
Cortadito's
good,
bro.
Yeah, I told you that thing was good, bro.
Hell yeah.
I think it keeps you up, too.
And it's like, it's a little cup, like that big, bro. It's a little cup.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes good.
I think what...
You wouldn't know about it because you like creamer. You like coffee in your creamer.
No, I love creamer.
Yes.
You don't have a... You know what? Never mind.
Oh, you're looking for the picture to tell people?
But... Just throwing some dirt.
Or is it La Careta? La Careta. It's called La Careta.
La Careta?
Yeah.
But that thing is
forget.
Small.
I just know where it is.
Okay.
No, you got to put a Miami.
Yeah.
Hey, that looks good.
I
thought
they might be Miami.
La Careta de Lily?
Is it Miami Airport?
They have one outside the Miami Airport, but that's the spot in the airport,
okay.
bro. La Careta. That's it. La Careta. That's the one.
Right there. Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the one, the Cuban kitchen. But you got to go around and to the back to get the coffee. That's where you get the food. You got to go around and to the back to get the cafe.
It's like a coffee, pastry. Like a window
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
I've had many a layover and canceled flight in Miami, so. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, people know about the pilong, huh? They said I'm telling you, that pilong is crazy. I should have had some pilong before the show because I'm drinking tea instead. I'm drinking my English tea.
Wait.
Okay. Sophisticated.
You're holding it on the next day on the thermos?
Oh, I have it in a thermos.
I just kidding. I don't want to.
I have it in a thermos. Hey, that reminds me. So yes, I want to address the comment. I think the brother's with us because he called us leadership.
Yes.
But maybe he didn't watch the rest of it. I don't know if he followed up on his comments. You could put his comment and you could put up what I said. I want to address this part from last week, right? Pilong? No. You know what? I don't find that here in Arizona. I order my stuff online. You pay a little more, I think, when you get it from Amazon.
Mm.
Not Bustelo, though. Bustelo's cheap on Amazon.
Bustelo's cheap.
I just get it from the store.
Oh, thank you, hon. She wants me to roll my R's. I was doing it for the people to understand, hon.
No, that's funny.
Yeah, she said, roll the R.
Pilong.
She said, roll the R. Then they don't understand what I'm saying. I gotta speak to the English speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta speak to the English speakers.
With a verbose.
No, that's why we have vernacular. To buy. Say, what was the roll the R's for?
La carreta.
Yes.
Say la carreta.
La carreta.
Oh, that wasn't bad,
okay,
bro.
Okay. Oh.
Put up the picture of Frank and then let it say. Put up the picture of Frank.
For y'all watching, you know, he just said I can
go
to South America.
Otra vez.
Otra vez.
No.
La carreta. La carreta.
Oh, he got to work on that tongue.
You had it better the first time.
Yeah, you fell off the horse.
Look, go ahead. Well, you're like him anyway. So.
La carreta.
You're like Frank.
Damn.
You're a Hassa. Damn.
That pig don't fly straight, man.
Como se dice hasa in inglés?
Hasa.
That's it.
That's a pig that don't fly straight.
Right.
Damn it.
That's a pig that don't fly straight.
Oh,
that
man.
Was good. That was good, Frank.
Let's address the comment.
Zion Flash.
Uh-huh.
With respect to the leadership,
I'm assuming he must have put that comment before he saw the rest of the show.
Probably.
So I replied, but there might be others that might have missed it or thought the same thing. So, you know, it's not to like necessarily put anything on it, but that's the reason the show wound up evolving into that whole thing last week, because it seems a lot of people are confused about a lot of things.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that I address this aspect of it again, because I'm sure he's not the only one, right? Mm. Go ahead.
Marinating food is not the same as cooking.
So he's saying that, you put it already.
Yeah.
He's saying that when we're talking about the ceviche, that's marinated.
Mm-hmm.
But your culinary acumen, brother, is not where it needs to be, because that is cooking. Do you have the one where I put up about the denaturing of the proteins?
Mm.
It's not cooking in the traditional sense, but I should have... I thought I put it up too. Yes.
When food is cooked, the proteins are denatured.
That's what constitutes the cooking. What we were talking about was what the scripture talks about, cooked and uncooked. And we were talking about the food in the countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the ceviche and then sushi and things like that.
Right.
And we brought out the scriptures about it emphasizes the blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is one scripture where it talks about raw in Exodus 12 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
But it's talking about the lamb
for Passover,
how that lamb is to be prepared, because then it goes on to say that it shouldn't be sodden either, right?
Mm-hmm.
So letting you know, that's talking about ways that you could go ahead and prepare it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So sodden is like when you do it like a stew or seethe, right? And they're saying it shouldn't be that way, right? So we were going over the fact that it's the blood, right? So go ahead. So let's read this about denatures. Go ahead. Come on.
Denaturation refers to the physical changes that takes place in a protein exposed to abnormal conditions in the environment.
Uh-huh.
Heat, acid.
Which is the citric acid in the ceviche. Come on.
Yep.
High salt concentrations, alcohol, and mechanical agitation can cause proteins to denature.
Right, and the thing with the ceviche, it's not marinated, right? There's a difference. When you marinate something, right, that's to get the seasoning in there.
Right.
You take that out of there, right, and then you cook it with heat, all right, when you marinate something. That's different. The ceviche, the leche de tigre.
Yes. That stuff is...
He loves that stuff. That's not a marinade. That's cooking, right? The other piece, like, right, because then you also have brining, right? That's where you
ask you about that.
That's a different process, right? That's not cooking the brining, but that's a way to kind of bake up the fibers. Like, who's going to eat raw chicken? You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right,
you're
right.
not going to eat raw chicken, at right? And you'll actually see the fish because you can tell if it didn't sit, mm-hmm. if depending on where you go,
right.
if it didn't sit in the ceviche, the citrus long enough, it actually will be discolored. It has not gotten the color and the flakiness of real fish. Mm. So there's a difference in that regard. And then the other piece was, let's go back to the comment. Come on.
With respect to leadership, marinating food is not the same as cooking. Mm-hmm. Ceviche is not cooked fish. It's raw fish.
So the first part I wanted to address is that it is. It's cooked mm-hmm. in the citrus. All mm-hmm. right. We brought that out when it shows that it's denatured. It's cooked in the citrus acid. But even if it wasn't, it doesn't matter. Right. But then he says this part, too, which leads me to believe he didn't understand the other part of what we spoke about. Right. Go ahead.
Just like sushi. Now, if you're saying that eating raw fish is OK as long as it's marinated, then I don't know.
Right. So that leads me to believe that he is thinking that you can't eat sushi.
Right.
And he's saying sushi has to be marinated. Right. So you see how you go down this whole thing
yes,
or
sir.
Something else. Oh, she. Right. Mm. And like I said, what scripture can you show?
Right. There's no law.
We gave plenty of scriptures showing that you can.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also gave the example of like the creeping things.
Right.
Right. Yeah. John lived in the wilderness on locust and honey.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what do you think? He was there spearing the locusts one
right.
by one.
Cooking,
and
them,
over the
cooking
fire.
Them over the fire and all that stuff like that. Right. He was grabbing them and eating them and eating the honey.
Right. right?
So, going to show you that it's about the blood, right? Mm-hmm. It's the blood that's the issue. The blood that's the issue, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point that part out. And I did respond to him, and I told him, I put the thing about, you can read my second comment, right?
Ceviche isn't cooked in the true sense. Cooking involves heat, and this isn't heated. After sitting in the acid from the citrus juice, a process called denaturation, the proteins in the fish change in the same as they would if cooked in heat. I will make sure to explain this as well. Ceviche is not marinated. It's cooked by the citric acid via denaturation.
Right, via mm-hmm. denaturation. Right, so it's the citric acid. It's the citric acid. Right.
See, we all learning.
Right.
We
right.
all learning to up, come up on our level of culinary acumen.
Mm. Culinary acumen. We learned about the peppers. We learned about the other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see what else I got in the chat here. I don't know what order I want to get to this stuff.
Right.
We created today's thing. Mm-hmm. What do I got here? What do I got here?
Talk to the people.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Talk to them about the scent and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, get on it.
So for tonight, the scent is Drakkar Nights.
Mm.
You know, I hadn't really got to smell this one until today.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is really good. It's a nice subtle scent.
Mm.
Can be worn all year round. Hey, brothers, check this out. Let me hold it up, Officer Tobias. So if you go to getbeardgains.com, you can get 3 of these scents and you get 20% off automatically. You don't have to put in any coupon code or nothing like that. And you can try out the different scents that we have to see which ones that you like. And then you can rock with it like that.
Mm. Get you a couple.
That's right.
Hey,
GetBeardGains.com.
Ask them about where they are.
Yeah, let's get the roll call going. Where y'all from? Let us know in the chat.
Let me open this. Why did I put this on here?
Where y'all tuning in from? Brothers and sisters, Sign Crash Plus. Hey, and while we're waiting, IUIC Booster Club. You already know we're doing. Hey, you sound very low, Othaniel. We're doing very big things with the Booster Club. Leadership is traveling, doing very big things. So, IUIC.fundraising,
mm-hmm.
at IsraelUnite.org. Remember, all right, go on there, go to PayPal, put in that email address, send some donations, whatever you can. Or if you want to join the Booster Club, send an email to IUICFundraising@IsraelUnite.org and let them know I'm interested to join the Booster Club, all right? You definitely help a lot when it comes to the Booster Club.
Hey, and they got to make sure that they include their name, your camp, and how long you've been in the body.
Okay, right, say that right. again. Turn up your gain or something.
Include your name, your camp, and how long you've been in the body.
Okay, so if you want to join the Booster Club, include your name, your camp, and how long you've been in the body, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So one more time, your name, your camp, and how long you've been in the body if you want to join the Booster Club. So all praise to Most High.
That's it.
What is,
so we got Gastonia. We got Mobile, Tampa.
We got PR.
We got, that's right. We got Houston, Washington, the Bahamas, Denver. Who else we got? Staten Island. Okay. VA, Las Vegas, Birmingham. Who else we got? We got Philly in there. Somebody's like, what if I'm a free agent? I don't know what that means. Claude have mercy.
Well, repent. That's all you can do.
Claude have mercy. Can we just...
A free agent.
Jacksonville, Florida, Northern California, and we got Miami in the house.
Miami. No, you know
what? The home of the hot sauce.
Did you say Bahamas?
I did.
North Carolina? No.
Mm-hmm.
California. Sorry. North California. Jacksonville. All praise to Mosai. Hey, a lot of brothers and sisters... they said they haven't bought anything.
Right. You see that, right? That's crazy.
No, that's fine. Hey, we got Phoenix in the house. All praises.
Okay.
Yo, North Dakota, though.
North Dakota.
Hey, bro, sometimes I'd be forgetting about North and South Dakota.
Right.
Because, you know, like, you rarely hear anything about those states. But all praises, we got viewership in North Dakota.
That's what's up.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. Oh, we got St. Croix. Okay.
Oh, Joseph Rose said, what if I'm a free agent?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you want to support what we're doing, you go ahead and donate to that Booster Club or praise to the Most High. That's
PayPal?
That's
put
all right.
in the email?
Yeah, it's right there.
And just put in the email.
You see it streaming across the bottom there. Damn, we got, I'm so damn, y'all East Coast, and now it's a 3-hour difference.
Yeah.
Right. We the late show for y'all.
Right.
Hey,
right?
we got Kansas City missing off the Asher.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We got Kansas City.
Well, we got Kansas City.
We got Arizona.
We got New Mexico.
Oh, snap. Nuevo Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
All praises. Hey, the 505. You already know the 505. Hey.
But what did you say about your car nights, though? I didn't hear you talk it up.
It's a really smooth, subtle scent. All right?
Hey, it smells fresh.
It smells very fresh. Matter of fact, watch this.
Hey,
what do you think about that?
Sol de Mexico City.
Yes, the MBD. We have growth oils. Okay.
Go ahead. Get you a little some of that.
I have cherry
tobacco.
Yes.
Okay, so you wearing cherry tobacco.
I'm wearing cherry tobacco, bro.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I'm rocking the cherry tobacco.
Gotcha, bitch.
I got the oil and
it's
the
slow.
Butter.
Turn up the USB. Dang. Turn up the...
You locked in on that cherry tobacco. I told you, man. That cherry tobacco
is
like...
You know what? I've been rocking the sandalwood bourbon. And the cherry tobacco quite a bit, but I can't really try nothing new. I ain't got no more space for it.
I got you.
Like, I think I got 12 cents.
Still a little low.
You put me on that
cognac. I got like half the cent. Yeah, that cognac. But
damn.
I'm giving it a rest.
I got you.
Oh, damn. We got Mexico City, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. El DF.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's what's
we
up.
We got Trinidad and
Trinidad.
Tobacco.
We got the islands, Bahamas.
Mexico City.
Hey, we had Australia before. Australia in the house again tonight? Australia?
Somebody said it's a camp in North Dakota.
Yes.
There is a few.
Claude Hemhurst.
Yes. Yes, there is. Captain Gadby going up there and putting in that work.
Hey,
okay.
they just passed an anti-Semitism law in South Dakota. I was reading it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like defining anti-Semitism so they can press charges more easily.
Mm.
And guess what definition they're using? The International Holocaust Memorial definition of anti-Semitism.
Which is?
Look up IHA definition of anti-Semitism. Talk about that today. Definition of IHRA definition of
frame of mischief
by right. law. So the South Dakota governor and people are saying like that's a violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah,
that she's looking to do that. Right. Let me see what the definition says.
Definition of anti-Semitism.
Drawing comparison.
Yeah. So click on it. Let me see if that takes you to where they have it as defined. So she used that to frame the law, like
mm-hmm.
the lawmakers there. It's
mm-hmm.
not showing it? Is
it's
it showing
too slow. It? It's slow. It's running a little slow.
Okay.
Here
the
we
working
go.
Definition.
In the spirit, with humanity, still scared. Go scroll down.
Let's see what it says. Hold on. Anti-Semitism. Okay, that's it right there. Okay. All right, but again, read, put that in the spirit of whatever they put. Yeah, put that, read that, read that.
In the spirit of the Stockholm Declaration that states, with humanity still scarred by anti-Semitism and xenophobia, the international community shares a solemn responsibility to fight those evils. The Committee on Anti-Semitism and Holocaust Denial, called the IHRA, plenary in Budapest 2015 to adopt the following working definition of anti-Semitism.
I'm sorry, hold on. So they've been working on this since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Outside the country.
And here's the thing. You say, oh, South Dakota, I'm not there. But if that stays and that don't get overturned or challenged in like the court system,
right?
You don't be surprised if you see other states trying to do that.
I saw 23 states.
I think Canada recently tried to pass something, or something's in making its way through their chambers,
mm-hmm.
that using the Bible would be hate speech.
Mm. Damn. There it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but go ahead, read the working definition.
On the 26th of May 2016, the plenary in Bucharest decided to adopt the following non-legally binding working definition of anti-Semitism.
Yes.
Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities.
Right. So still seems very broad, but go ahead, read down. I think they say now they elaborate on what the manifestations mm-hmm. are. Go ahead.
To guide IHRA in its work, the following examples may serve as illustrations. Manifestations might include the targeting of the State of Israel, conceived as a Jewish collectivity. However, criticism of Israel similar to that leveled against any other country cannot be regarded as anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism frequently charges Jews with conspiring to harm humanity.
All right, so if you say that, you could go to jail in South Dakota. Go ahead.
And it's often used to blame Jews for why things go wrong.
So if you say that they run the media, even though it's true, and Hollywood, you can go to jail in South Dakota.
It is expressed in speech, writing, visual forms, and action, and employs sinister stereotypes and negative character traits.
Mm-hmm.
Contemporary examples of anti-Semitism in public life, the media, schools, the workplace, and in the religious sphere could, taking into account the overall context, including, but are not limited to, calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of radical ideology.
Uh-oh.
Or an extremist view of religion.
That's us.
No.
So meaning when
say.
We read the scriptures that
right.
talks about the destruction of Amalek,
right?
All right, they're saying that in South Dakota you could probably get arrested.
The bastard of Ashdod.
Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing. Didn't it say he was the
I've
synagogue?
I've never heard
of
the word mendacious.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
My vocabulary
it's
prepaid
not,
card
not that
has
verbose.
But it says demonizing. So like with all of the stuff that we
telling
saw,
lies, yes. Especially habitually.
Okay.
Oh.
Telling lies. Yep.
Oh.
Propaganda. Oh, wait. Hold up.
Wait.
Hold up.
More definitions.
Yeah. Can we get the
mendacious? Come on.
Fraudulent.
Not telling the truth. Lying. So
oh,
it's just
right.
saying.
Oh.
But who determines if it's a lie or not?
That part.
Right.
Who defines whether it's a
right.
lie? That part.
So could that be so broad that if you profess to be an Israelite,
oh, you're
you
lying.
Can get locked up?
Damn.
Right. The Bible says your enemies will be found liars.
That reminds me of it's the second Maccabees 6. You can not profess at all
to
be a
right.
Jew. I was watching Alexander on Netflix, the
yeah.
new documentary they
mm-hmm.
had. Just because it's something that I can browse the phone while I watch, like
right.
I don't got to give my full attention to,
right,
you
right.
know, check messages and stuff. But it's actually kind of interesting, and I was only watching it to see if they mention anything.
Mm.
So that's why I started posting some links last
mm.
night about some stuff that a future show I want to go over Hellenism. I did a
mm.
class about it years ago.
Yes.
I think it's one of the more popular classes on our page.
Yes.
Where we went over Hellenism.
Mm-hmm.
Like still to this day, it has a pretty high view count for the Phoenix page.
And a lot of Christians on there. Hey.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of comments mm-hmm. and everything speaking against the Hellenism. But I want to run it back and do it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just making some observations. One of the things I was looking at was that I think I got one more episode and then it's almost done. They don't mention Israel at all in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, the scriptures really doesn't say anything about Alexander's rise to power. It just talks about how he died and
dispersed everything.
Right,
the
right. And it prophesies about him. Right. Like when that, let me rephrase what I said. It doesn't go into great detail of his conquest.
The rise.
Mm-hmm. Right, his rise.
Right.
But neither does it with any ruler, if
right.
you think about it, that's not Israel.
Right.
That's right.
It only talks about them in reference to how they dealt with us.
Right.
Deacon, you know what's heavy? That proves that history has always been told as his stories.
Right.
Whatever the conquering.
Right. So when you look at it from that perspective, mm-hmm. right, you understand, because some people think, well, how come this isn't mentioned in the Bible? Well, it would have no end. It would be an encyclopedia then.
Right.
It would have to fill buildings
right.
of history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what you get is the summary. He's mentioned prophetically in Daniel
yes.
because of how impactful he was. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because they're talking about how he figured he was the son of Zeus and believed it. And when he went to Egypt, they made him a pharaoh. And
mm-hmm.
pharaohs were considered gods.
Yeah.
So he was a god king. And I'm thinking to myself, he was an undefeated general against all types of odds. It just
right.
shouldn't have made mm-hmm. sense that his small army, because it wasn't the Greece that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm digressing here, but I guess I'm previewing what we're going to kind of unpack when we go into the Hellenism, because
mm-hmm.
I want to go into that a little bit and bring that into perspective. It shows that the Lord, remember when it says he sets up the basis of men,
right?
And puts
yeah.
them in power?
Yeah.
The Lord did that because they were saying how if he would have never conquered Persia, then the Greeks would have never rose to power the way they did. Then Rome would have never succeeded them.
Mm.
And then I think you had the Byzantine Empire after that, but that was kind of the Dark Ages at that point. And the way the Most High had this history laid out for us would not have happened that way.
Mm.
So he was ordained, but not by Zeus or
right.
Egyptian gods. It was the God of Israel
prophecy
that raised him up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Darius acknowledged that in Persia, right? He yeah. was the one who was raised up, but he was raised up to kind of basically be taken down, right?
Right.
So overall, what it had me thinking about was just how when you read about Alexander, you read about him prophetically, and then you read about basically his demise and the setup of his four generals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you read about Israel. But during that, so the world basically teaches you this history of these guys. This is the ultimate point that I'm getting to, and I'll bring it out when I build that topic out, is that they'll teach you the perspective, but they teach it in a broad sense
mm-hmm.
of look at how great of a military strategist, how great
right.
of a conqueror
mm-hmm.
is. The Bible will give you what our experience was as Israelites
mm-hmm.
with those ruling powers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can study both of those and bring those together, it'll actually enhance your understanding a little
mm-hmm.
bit of how they moved, how they operated. But what we read about in the Maccabees is just our dealings with them.
Yes.
They had other things going on.
Right.
As well,
with other cultures.
But basically, it's from our perspective of what our engagement was
mm-hmm.
with these nations,
right?
Right? Mm-hmm. Just like Rome had many battles and all. You don't read about Spartacus and the Punic Wars and things like that. Why? Because you don't need to. Because while we were slaves for them and enlisted in their armies and all that stuff, that wasn't dealing with us and how they dealt with us in Jerusalem and things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Because
you'll have some people that'll try to rebuff the Bible based on that and saying, "Oh, but it doesn't mention this and it doesn't mention it doesn't need to."
Yeah, but it's not supposed to.
Right. This is where you're going to go to get the – but and then the other people is oh, well, where's your historical proof that you guys were this and you guys were that?
Right.
Because the world talks about it in the broader sense
mm-hmm.
of their accomplishments, not what they did. Part of that's by plan and part of that's just the way they were looking at their stuff in a broader sense,
mm-hmm.
you know? Oh, I see you looking up John Hycranus and stuff like that. So you're going to get ready for that show too?
Yes. Well, no, actually,
yeah.
Another conversation, but
yeah,
yes,
but well, I probably won't run it back the way I did in the classroom that time.
Yeah,
but it'll probably be, yeah. Spartacus, they say was us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they try to put bust and things like that and say this was him, but don't forget about iconoclasm and
right.
things of that ilk. But what I'm talking about as far as us and our people and our customs, I'm not talking about the history of Spartacus. Why would Spartacus be mentioned in here? Right, especially that he didn't win, he didn't accomplish anything.
Right,
and remember, this whole Bible was to prepare us for the real Savior,
mm.
yes.
right, and that Messiah. But what I'm saying is that you don't get the broad history in the Bible, but it is there.
Right.
And it's because it's from the perspective of our dealings with those nations. So I was just kind of thinking about that as I was watching Alexander and stuff like that. Mm. Oh, and then the Greek government was upset because they show how he was a homo.
Oh, yeah, that
and
part.
They were saying that that's not true, that it wasn't like that. But all historians, like they have these yeah. academics that are literally yeah. saying they didn't call it homosexuality. Sex was just sex to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there was no taboo.
Yes.
Right.
You slept with your best friend. You slept yeah. with your best friend. But you also married women and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's how you had your seed.
That's how you had yeah. your seed and stuff like that. So, but.
But it was a natural thing.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. But We'll go into that stuff.
You mind if I get a script real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Just on what you just brought up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Second Maccabees real quick. Chapter 2 and start at verse 28. Because what Deegan's saying is heavy. When the Bible was written, it was written with intent. And it wasn't written to include every aspect. Go ahead and read that.
This is the book of Second Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 28.
And Nathaniel, can you get the definition of abridgment? Read that.
Leaving to the author the exact handling of every particular.
If you read up and you go to verse 25, it goes into they our forefathers sat down and made it an effort to take the acts that our forefathers did. Judas Maccabeus, Mattathias, they took the time to write it all down in the book. Read.
And laboring to follow the rules of an abridgment.
So they started to create an abridgment. They took the time to take the accounts of our history and put it into a book for us to be able to read. Read that real quick.
Abridgment, the action of
get
abridging
the
text.
The Merriam-Webster. Read the second one.
Mm-hmm. Short and form it.
Abridgment, number two, a shortened form of a work retaining the general sense and unity of the original.
So it's a shortened form of work to retain the general sense of what happened,
mm-hmm.
but it's all focused with a focal point. Like Deacon said, it's focused on Israel. It's focused on us mm-hmm. and what we need to gain from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read verse 30.
Verse 30. To stand upon every point and go over things.
No, 31. 31.
31. But to use
brevity,
and avoid much laboring of the work
uh-huh.
is to be granted to him that will make an abridgment.
Read.
Here, then, will we begin the story,
uh-huh.
only adding thus much to that which have been said.
So he said they began the story, the history that occurred, but they're only adding as much as was needed. Read.
That it is a foolish thing to make a long prologue.
They weren't going to go into making a long prologue.
Right, they weren't going to go into Alexander's rise to power
right.
and all this other stuff. Because where were we while Alexander was rising to power?
In captivity.
Under who?
Him, Alexander.
No,
Persia Medes.
Persia Medes, right.
We were under the Persia Medes.
No.
So that's why you read our history under the Persia Medes.
Well, we are actually weren't under a captivity just yet until they came into power. We remember, they gave us liberty to go back, right?
Right, but we were under captivity with them. So when you read about them, right,
okay.
we were only with them. Yes, you read about Ezra's and Nehemiah, how they were given liberty to go back.
But we were under their rule?
There's no. We were still under their rule. We
okay.
were vassals, so to speak.
Okay.
We weren't free of our own.
We were denizens back then?
We were denizens.
Right.
Right, because they were the ruling power.
Right.
They ruled that side of the world.
Right.
Right? So we went from captivity to freedom, right, under Darius, right? And Darius is the one that Alexander conquered.
Right.
So it wasn't very long that we were in that little dispensation of freedom
right.
before Alexander rose to power. And his reign was short. It was 12 years.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you try to number the reigns, right, his was 12 years. You got to kind of number from when approximately we were released, like when Darius came to power, basically, right, when we were released. And if you put that together in the thousands of years that we were in history, maybe that amounts to 30 years, 20 years,
right?
Where we were not under a direct oppressive captivity. It's still captivity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just mean not in shackles, right?
Right.
Just
right.
like in Rome, we were still captivity,
mm.
right? But I want to bring the different thing. Rome, and they think we spoke Italian, right? So I want to go into the Hellenism again because I think sometimes that gets overlooked.
Mm.
Especially as I've been traveling and I see the misunderstanding of the Gentiles and the Greeks.
Right.
And the same way I say that you can't think of Northern Kingdom the way we look now
right.
as only Northern Kingdom. We showed some of the darker ones.
Like Tobias thinking right. everybody makes tacos. All Northern Kingdom makes tacos.
Right.
in that
same way, people think of the Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they think the Greeks. But why is he saying Greeks if it's Rome? That in and of itself should make you understand that Hellenistic culture
mm-hmm.
dominated everything.
Mm-hmm.
Rome was using Greek customs. That's what I call it, Greco-Roman,
right.
because it was an overlap. They kind of existed at the same time in power.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that one necessarily conquered the other by war.
They combined.
But one went into decadence and declined,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of got merged. So some of the terms that we were talking about, and Alexander was big for that. So, see, I'm saying too much already, but
let's go.
It'll probably be more than one show. It'll probably be more than one show.
Right.
And I want to get real kind of granular about Hellenism, because to me it ties into the understanding for those of us who push back on the New Testament when it talks about Jews and Greeks and Gentiles
right.
and not really understanding that. It goes to show that you don't really understand anything about history for you to be able to make that assessment and think that you can open this Bible halfway through,
right.
more than halfway through, and think that all of a sudden God changed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and all nations can be there. It's not a confusion. It's just like they don't have to mention them, because they say, how come the Hebrews weren't mentioned as dark, but they mentioned Edom being light? Well, because that was the abnormality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the normality of that time was that everybody spoke Greek and everybody had the Greekish fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts from Maccabees. So we're going to spend some time in Maccabees. We'll spend some time in the New Testament going over those overlaps and things like that. And then looking at some historical things as we reference all that too.
It's about to go down.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
So, but I want to build it. I want to build it good. I don't want to freestyle it too much.
Right.
I want to be able to look at certain points. Yeah. So that's my plan, to go over that in some detail.
Oh,
one more script.
Yeah. Can I finish that last part out real quick?
And to be short in the story itself.
So the whole point was, when they took on the abridgment to write down the history, especially the Maccabees, the whole point was for the story to be, the history to be short in itself, so that you can commit it to memory.
Right.
Give me, go to Esther in the Bible. Esther chapter 10 and verse 2.
Hey, and I was going to say, if you look at it and you count their records accurately, one thing I want to point out, he didn't really care about Alexander, I'm saying, at least chronically, for Israel, because the route that he took out of Macedon, which is now modern day Greece,
mm-hmm.
to march to Egypt as he fought his battles in Asia, and then marched his way down to Egypt, he passes Israel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but he did not try to say, let me conquer this, let me take this. His eye was on Egypt because of his wealth, and strategically, that was the breadbasket for the Persian Empire, where a lot of grain and everything.
Yeah.
Like, everybody pretty much wanted Egypt for its wealth. And it's, oh, you know, the other thing that pissed me off is they show the Egyptians as Arabs.
Mm.
And you know, in that time, they weren't Arab looking.
Right. Black.
Remember when he went to there's a book that Elder Ethan brings out about Alexander. He goes to Israel, and then the priest at that time say, yeah, you're in the Bible.
Right.
And he says, damn, I am. And that is me.
Right.
And he gives glory to the Most High.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they were at peace.
Right.
Until,
yeah, because he passed by on the way to Egypt.
Yes.
There.
Mm.
But my
they
point was,
showed him in Daniel.
He didn't see it as anything worth conquering. Because remember, what were we there for?
To rebuild.
To rebuild.
Right.
So he's looking at that. At that time, Israel was like, Jerusalem was like,
yeah.
Like,
I got fish to fry.
It was like Haiti.
Right.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh,
no. Yeah. Most definitely.
Well, I'm talking about Haiti now. Let's keep
right.
it real. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah. No.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, I know Haiti has a lot of riches and things like that that people are taking advantage of that the world don't talk about. Captain Gideon posted a thing like that today about
mm-hmm.
like in the mountains, how they have the gold, they have the lithium and
right.
stuff like that. And, you know. Again, what's just that, like in South America, they should be wealthy, but they're not. But my point was, it was like, okay, it's, what am I going to do here, right?
Vibranium, my right. brother?
So, you know, probably stopped by, saw it, knew of us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he was a history buff,
mm-hmm.
Alexander.
Yes.
Right.
And that account makes a lot of sense. Probably had some interaction. They told him this. And all these things, because they were like, yo, where was this guy's confidence coming from? They put so much emphasis on Egypt and what his mother told him about being the son of Zeus. I would love to get, maybe Yakin has excerpts from that book for when I go over it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of history research for Aitan. And I know he does. So it'd be good if we can read that excerpt. But it kind of just lends to the credence that his mom told him he was the son of a god.
Mm-hmm.
He hears from the Israelites that you're in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Egyptians make him a pharaoh. He takes a pilgrimage journey, supposedly, and they tell him this temple in Egypt, and he meets some oracle there, and they tell him all these grand things about him and that he can't lose. They basically tell him he can't lose. Mm. You're not going to lose. Mm. You're going to win.
Right.
And he does. He winds up going and he conquers the Persian Empire as a bunch of little city states and stuff like that, you know, and history loves him. They say people study his tactics and everything to this day as far as him being strategic. That's why I said it got to be the Lord that sets up these base men. You know what I'm saying? So,
because right, nobody told him that the syphilis was going to take him out.
It is, right. Because when you read Daniel and he says, oh, I'm come to destroy the Persians,
uh-huh.
The king of Grecia shall come. So, uh-huh. And it's actually Christ speaking to Daniel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's another. I like
So I like how we can build from that and show. And that's why I want to spend some time in the Maccabees when we go over to Hellenism. Like, I'm not just going to jump to the New Testament, but we will do it because that's most people won't credit the Apocrypha. So that's why we'll go there to show that. And that's what's so heavy about, I mean, all the Apocrypha is great. I mean, Ezra's, it helps you understand Genesis. Maccabees really helps you understand how you get on the scene in Matthew. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you got all this discussion about genealogy and lineage and saving his people and all this other stuff like that. And then it should, if you have sense, frame a picture for you of what's really being said there. And it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's laughable to me that these supposed academics, these apologists and all these people that try to talk against, and they say the New Testament means this and it means that and it means this. It doesn't mean all that. If you just look at the history and you look at Hellenistic Judaism as a real thing, it's just their pomp doesn't allow them to accept that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't. It's that ancient hatred. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That ancient hatred that Esau has for Jacob.
Yeah.
That's really what it boils down to. That's really what it boils down to. Damn, that was a long preview.
Yes, it was.
So these are the thoughts I was thinking about, like, kind of as a
nation. Let's go.
Yeah. Because, like I said, the majority of the time, I'm not just watching something and just, you know,
frivolously.
Yeah, frivolously, you know. Mm. Unless it's like, you know, Kitchen Nightmares or something, then there's no association. Well, you know what it is? That plays on my default on the TV because Samsung TV.
Yeah.
So Kitchen Nightmares is always on. So I get a kick out of it. Well, because I like the food, and then I just like the way he deals with everybody. Especially from like a leadership perspective,
because
you see all the deficiencies deficiencies that people have there. That's the same type of stuff
that's
not
here,
in cooking that you see in the body. Yeah. So I guess I do see stuff in there
in the spiritual
that relates to the body.
The
right. I know I was reading Caleb talking about like Israel always trying to see Israel in movies. He was talking about Dune 1 and he didn't get it.
Yeah. Every movie is spiritual.
And I get it. Yeah. Dune 1, you're not going to get it until you see Dune 2.
You have to see the second one.
Yeah.
Hey, D.
Although... Well, I have a history with Dune. That was like...
In the 80s.
I never read the books, but when the movie came out in the 80s and stuff like that. But that thing is all about, like, you know, the you know, messianic stuff and so on and so forth. It's pretty good. You saw it? You liked it?
Yeah, I got my best sleep during that movie.
Yeah, I told y'all. I don't know how y'all did such a late... Why you let Ezekiel pick that time,
I didn't even know what I was walking into until I got in there. I'm like, bro,
it's 2 hours
like,
and 46 minutes.
It's not about the buildup.
Right.
It's about what they're being told.
Right.
I literally... I literally woke up and the final scene was like, damn, it's popping. And then it just ended. I was like, what just happened?
You slept through the movie.
The whole movie.
Hey, let me get a scripture. Hey, that makes sense, Zohar, that you say that. It was Siwa. You watched that now that you say it. That might make sense. You know how history and the way they do things and records don't get recorded, right?
Yeah.
Siwa might have been when he wound up going, but he took a different way. You know, they try to show you a different route that he went there. But the route that they show, he passes Jerusalem into Egypt, and they say Siwa was further
Siwa's
west.
A city?
Siwa was further west. Well, it's supposed to be this ancient city of oracles and stuff in Egypt that there's some other Greek generals try to get to, and you got to go across barren desert to get to it and stuff like that. It might be, but I'm not going to talk unless I can, I'm not going to say that unless I can bring out something that validates that.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like later, I'm going to talk about Ephraim, the 10,000s of Ephraim, and I'm going to show you some stuff historically that I can bring into that. But I wouldn't talk about it. Yeah. So it was like an oasis city, but it might be that and just the way they are, they're saying this is Siwa, but maybe it's not, you know, like could be.
Hey, can I get a script? Esther chapter 10, mm-hmm. verse 2. Esther in the Bible, chapter 10, verse 2. Because you said history, they talk about very broad. The Bible records the only one time that another nation wrote about us. Now, today, where is that at? We don't know. But the Bible talks about it. Esther chapter 10, verse 2.
The book of Esther, chapter 10, verse 2. And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia?
So that's all I wanted on that.
Right, letting you know that they had records of us too.
Just the only nation that mm-hmm. the Bible talks about that they had records of us, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And where is that at today? We don't know.
Well, part of the Hellenism topic that I went over, what they'll tell you is that, so remember, they talk about how he built Alexandria in Egypt.
Yes.
And it's a port city, right? And there was nothing there. And if you've heard of the Great Library of Alexandria, I think I went over this in the Hellenism class, and they say that place had chronicles and records of everything in the world up until that point.
Dang. Mm-hmm.
But it was destroyed,
mm-hmm.
conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they show in the documentary on Netflix, it's a docudrama because they show like reenactments, is that in excavating, since Alexandria is such a bustling city, they can't really dig the way they want to without disrupting the people that live there. Mm. But in certain areas, they do. And they had to go layer by layer because, you know, people build on top of the ruins of other empires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they had to go four layers deep before they found anything that was actually from the original Alexandria.
Mm.
But one of the things, if you look it up historically, you talk about it was supposedly a wonder of the world at that time was the Library of Alexandria. And when I went over the Hellenism piece, we talk about it. And it supposedly it had the world's knowledge there. Mm. And a lot of the Israelite scholars would go there to look for records and things like that.
Mm.
So again, just iconoclasm also is, I don't know what the equivalent is as far as records. I know that deals with images, but I'm sure there's a term for it when they destroy records.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that stuff got burned down and destroyed. You know, same way they shot off the noses on the sphinxes pyramid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I would imagine, you know, infuriated Edom would see some of these records, right, and just kind of.
I would imagine,
yeah.
Because you got to remember what did they care about the Bible back then? They had their own gods. They had their own. It's not like now where the Bible's kind of the common number one thing.
Right.
I see. I'm going off too much. But when we get into the Hellenism stuff, we'll talk about that. Because this is the way kind of. At least my process works when I'm reading stuff and analyzing it. And that's why when, like, I heard about this in The Truth, it wasn't that I rejected it, but I went on this thing of, like,
searching it out.
But for me, the searching is looking to disprove it, like trying to find things that disproves it. And I couldn't. What I found things was just that made more sense as I kept reading and understanding and things like that. So a lot of times I'll look at things that way. But my mind will look at all these kind of aspects of it and stuff like that. So
it's heavy.
Yeah.
Dig, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those records that we thought were destroyed were actually preserved.
In the Vatican?
Yeah, there you go. That's it right there.
Well, I said we get access to their
Library. Their archives.
Yeah. Hey, the thing that they showed in what's the movie with Tom Hanks? Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code.
Right? where they go down there and you got these glass things and this preservation of all these records and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they probably brought a lot of that stuff back. I said, oh, we got to hide this. The world can't know these things.
Right.
What were you going to say?
I saw a, just about the Alexandria, I had saw like a Joe Rogan, like clip.
It's a clip? Does he say interesting stuff about it?
It just says that, you know, Alexander the Greek created a lot of Alexandrias throughout India and today modern day Pakistan. So he not only in Alexandria, Egypt, he also created Alexandria in like the Middle East somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was. Why not? Name
and he
cities
was
after yourself, right?
Right. You know? He was naming them Alexandria. Yep.
Yeah, that's why it's called Alexandria. Because, yep. But if you look up the Library of Alexandria, they're called the Great Library of Alexandria. They're talking about that one because that was the first one and stuff like that. So, a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good stuff. Right. Hey, so let's talk about the China stuff a little bit. So one of the things we saw when we were traveling was the heavy, heavy Chinese influence, right? And let's get the scripture ready about Lot. And I thought it said in the Zondervans, I don't know if we have one, that they presume that they the progenitors of Moab and Ammon. Like, don't the scholars say that somewhere? I swore it was in the Zondervans, and I didn't check. I wanted to check today.
Damn, I don't have it.
I've seen that somewhere because people say that we're just speculating when we say that.
Hey, we're going to bring y'all one.
Okay.
Okay, maybe it's in there. We'll look it up as we look into it. But let's go into this China thing, right? Let me see that. Pass that to me. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Y'all talk. Let me look this up.
And go.
Damn, y'all got nothing to say.
And go. What are we doing?
Where's Deacon Lava?
Hey, all praise to the Most High. We in the building.
Yeah,
we in the thing? Building.
Hey, all praises. Wait, what's going on?
Get Joe in there. Get Joe in there real quick. Come on. Get Joe in there real quick. Come on. It's heavy. Because what Deacon said earlier was heavy, man. He said that when he searches out these things, it's always been a beneficial form to actually solidify his faith and understanding of the world that we live in now, right?
The book of Job, chapter 8, verse 8.
Read it.
Inquire, I pray thee, of the former age.
So in the Bible, it's always told us, inquire of the former age. In Romans 15:4, what was written aforetime was written so we can learn from these things, right? Okay. So this is important that we go into the history so that we can understand the world we live in today and how it was formed, right?
And prepare thyself to the search of their fathers.
And that was the searching Deacon was talking about. Get Hebrews real quick, 11:2. Prepare thyself to the search of their fathers, because the forefathers, our foremothers, everything they experienced, the history that was written aforetime, it's what allowed us to be in the world that we see and know today, what was made manifest today. The reason that Alexander came into reign and all these things happened was because it was prophecy. Read that.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 2. For by it, verse 3. Through faith, we understand
and
that.
And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So through faith, we understand, read.
That the worlds were framed by the word of God.
The worlds were framed by the word of God. By the word of God. So the world of Israel, we know you got Isaiah 45, but also Esau's world that's going to come to an end. It was all framed by the word of God. The only reason that Alexander got to where he was is because it was written in God's word. Read it again.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
So we understand that the worlds were framed, literally framed, by the word of God. Read.
So that things which are seen.
We see Babylon the Great. We see the cities that are established now. We see South America, like Deacon's about to go into what's going on with China. These things, we see these things, read.
Were not made of things which do appear.
It wasn't made of things which do appear. Our forefathers do not appear today, but a lot of what they did influence what does appear today. And we've got to be mindful that when we go into the word of God, it gives us insight into how these things appear now.
That's right. Give me that Ecclesiastes, what's that, 12 and 12, making the many books?
Yes, sir.
Give me that real quick. Because here, at the end of the day, this Bible was written by us, to us, and for us.
Right.
And anything that's inside of it is what we need in order to get our salvation. Read that.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end.
There's no end to all of the histories of all of the different peoples on the planet. All we need to worry about is what the Most High written for us. Let me get Romans 15:4 real quick. Get some, scrape some meat off that bone. Because what you were going into was heavy just now. Go ahead.
The book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
Hold on. See, it said it was written for our learning. This Bible is not for everyone. It's for the blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, and the diaspora all over the world. Go ahead.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That we...
That we...
through patience
uh-huh.
and comfort of the scriptures
right.
might have hope.
Comfort of the scriptures. Everything that's written in this book is written for our learning. So it ties in, even if they make a mention of Alexander, they made that mention, like Deacon said, because it had to do with what we were going through at the time.
Right.
And we can go through the scriptures and figure out how to deal with the Alexanders that we have over oppressing us today.
Today.
Let me get Revelations 2 and 25.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 25. But that which ye have.
That which ye have in this Bible from the Old, the New, and the Apocrypha.
Already, hold fast till I come.
We have everything that we need to be saved through our obedience to the Word of God right in this Bible. Mm. That's all we need.
Hey, I was reading some stuff today. Give me Proverbs chapter 28. Nothing to do with nothing. I just want to share this with what you guys. Well, kind of.
Well,
what
wait. I'm ready to go into the Chinese
all
thing.
Right, go
so you're going
go
somewhere?
No,
see this
no,
guy, bro?
Well, I was waiting for you. That's why I thought.
Busy Jesus. Let me go somewhere else, and then we can change the title of the show to something else.
No, I mean it ties up to what they're saying, but.
Does it? No, but that's not what you said. You said, look, I was reading. Let me share something with you. I was reading.
It goes into
said,
like the rulers.
But you said no, it has nothing to do with nothing.
It was just a thought I wanted to put out there.
Fix it, Jesus.
Okay, you want to bring it out? You want to bring it out? Go ahead, bring it out. Let me not quench your spirit. Go ahead,
no,
bring it out.
No, I'm good.
Bring it out.
Yeah. I'm good. It was just about rulers, and that's it.
So bring it out so we can all be edified.
Matthew, Proverbs 28.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring out like 12 precepts, though.
It's just three of them.
Okay.
Verse 12.
Oh, my God. The book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 12.
This
when
guy,
the righteous
bro.
Men do rejoice, there is a great glory.
Uh-huh.
But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden.
Okay, now jump to, down to verse 28.
Verse 28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when they perish, the righteous increase.
The righteous increase. Chapter 29, verse 2.
29 verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
And that's what I was just reading today. And it just everything you guys were saying about rulers coming up. And I like what you said about when the Bible lets us know how to deal with certain oppressors that come into power. And mm-hmm. I was reading this and it was like, dang, the Most High has let us know, right? We go through our ups and downs through these certain captivities. And when we're in power, we shall rejoice, and we will increase. So, and we will come out of hiding. So
mm-hmm.
I just want to put that out there.
I'll pray. Right. Okay. So I want to bring this out. And then you want to explain the excerpt from the book. So let's pull up the first thing about the Chinese. Which country in South America has the most Chinese people? So one thing we noticed when we got there. I mean, usually every place has a Chinatown, right?
This is mm-hmm. true.
Right? And so we went there, and they were like, yo, we're going to Barrio Chino. And I was like, damn. I said, we're going to Barrio Chino? I said, that's crazy. Let's go check it out. And,
mm-hmm.
and camp was popping over there.
Fire.
But it was mad Chinese restaurants
mm.
and mad Chinese stuff. Like, yeah, it was
crazy.
Right.
It was crazy.
Damn.
And they speak in Spanish. They're standing out front talking out to Spanish, like, to come eat.
Yeah.
But they were Moab?
But it was
Moab.
What? Yeah, but they had the Saskatchewan chicken.
They were Moab. They had the
Saskatchewan
chicken.
That Shitterichau chicken.
You already posted that excerpt from the book.
No, I know. I'm just going to zoom in inspecting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
And
they were... Like, it was just wow. So we were just doing some research,
mm-hmm.
and yo, they were like defending the Chinese there. Like,
yeah.
I remember we kept having to blast them that
they
the Chinese
them,
can't be saved.
They love them egg rolls, they pastel.
Right. So we have to keep blasting them on the Chinese can't be saved. So bring out that picture. So, you know, you do a little Google search, right? Go ahead, read that.
Which country in South America has the most Chinese people?
Come on.
Peru.
Peru has the most Chinese people,
damn
right?
It.
They are doing major things in China. We're going
to
read some articles and stuff
about
it, right?
No,
I mean, in Peru.
No, they pirates.
They dealing heavy over there,
right?
All right?
Right.
They dealing heavy over there because they see it as an opportunity. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, everybody talks about, oh, the Chinese are all in Africa. They're,
right.
You read about that in the news. Well, guess what? They doing the same thing with us, Northern Kingdom, in South America, in Central America, right? So go ahead. Peru has the most Chinese people. Go ahead.
With as much as 5% of their population having some degree of Chinese ancestry.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
Peru and Mexico have the highest ratio of any country for East Asian descent behind Brazil.
Go ahead.
Though the most recent official census, which relied on self-identification, gave a much lower percentage.
Right. Mm. So there's a lot there. But Ashai is going to bring this thing out in this book. The Peruvians are not Chinese, okay? Wow. Yes, is there probably some mixing? There's like some – they had ancient dealings there.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of times you don't read about this in modern history. You don't really read about the Chinese slave trade. You don't really read about how they also traveled to Central and South America. Mm. It's very heavily focused on the conquistadors, right?
Right.
But go ahead. Read what you got and bring that out, Ashayo, in that book.
Read this cover. And, hey, shout out to Officer Helez. He actually posted this. So Officer Helez, Officer Hiscar. Them brothers do a lot of good research. Go ahead.
America being the latest and most accurate description of the New World, book one.
I'm sorry, we never found the Instagram, right, that had the video?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
It's the video with the Chinese?
Yes.
Ah, perfect.
You posted.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But, okay, let's read the stuff first, and then we'll watch the video. So I'm just letting you know that, you know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, you got people who, again, just more signs of the oppression.
Right. Zoom in.
And in one of all things, people are like, oh, the Chinese are taking over here, there. They are making the same moves in Central and South America.
They got a program.
Okay? Yes, they got a program.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Come on.
All right, but if anyone will suppose that they purposely directed their course thither, how came the Chinese to sail just to Peru and not to New Spain?
To New Mexico, such and so forth, right? Central South America.
Which is much closer to China.
Mm-hmm.
Why were there no merchandises of the Chinese found in Peru?
Mm.
Since they went thither for trade, how came they to neglect that navigation they had once found? Nor is their sun worship, which was formerly practiced in most parts of the world, of any validity to derive them from China.
Right. So he's saying that you can't say the Peruvians are from China, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, come on.
But the contrary is most apparent. For the Peruvians, for their chief god, Viracocha.
Cocha.
Viracocha.
I almost had it. Listen.
Ay, Dios mío.
Listen, I almost had it for the 3 points.
Stop it.
I almost had it. Yo. Short job. I almost had it. Yo, Viracocha, that is. Oh, snap.
You got to roll
God,
R.
Yes, that's what it was. God Almighty.
What?
Or the God Almighty.
God Almighty.
Or the creator of all things.
The creator of
meaning they call
things.
The God of Israel, yes. Viracocha. Not the other word that he used.
Concha.
No, don't repeat
that. Don't say that.
That's okay. Derogatory. That's slang.
I didn't know that.
That's slang for the box.
Yes.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yes.
He would say that.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
All the Northern Kingdom's cringing right now that she said that. And then he goes and says it behind him.
Oh,
I thought you were every tribe.
Hey, you know,
man.
I'm learning. It's a process.
See, that's why we can't take you on these trips, bro, because you'll say some offensive stuff to somebody.
No, a wise man going to keep silence.
No,
I'm going to watch. Observe.
That is a derogatory slang word for
the box.
Well, it's not even derogatory. It's just a slang word for the box.
Understood.
All right. God,
Oh my God,
man! I was almost there. I almost had it.
And he said it with such conviction. Beat it!
This guy said it behind him with the same conviction.
I didn't say that. I didn't repeat it on purpose, and then he repeats it for me.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't forget. I knew exactly what he said.
Okay.
I knew exactly what he said.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so this book basically talks about, you know, that claim that Northern Kingdom, I mean, one of the things it talks about, migrated from Asia, from China, he says it has no validity, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's any Chinese influence, it happened more modernly as they came there after the conquest, right, to go ahead. That's the point that's being made in this excerpt here, all right? That they came after, that's why I mentioned New Spain. They came after the conquistadors conquered, right? And they have none of the traditions of Chinese culture, is what he's saying. So how can you say that? Because China's an ancient culture, right?
Right.
Oh, snap, this thing came out. China's an ancient culture. I'm trying to get comfortable here. Damn, my cube fell and everything.
Chinese an ancient culture.
Can you reach for that? Let me.
I got it. We got to slide through. It's right there.
You got it?
Oh, you're going to put your dirty foot on
there
it?
You go.
Damn.
Bear with us.
Damn, I'm sorry. I don't want my computer
to.
I mean, it'll probably last a while.
We're back.
Back to you live. Power Hour Plus.
We need a bigger school. We need a bigger school. I was trying to get comfortable with my leg. I couldn't do it.
Pray for us.
Anyway. So this was more proof as we talk about the Chinese influence in there in South America.
Right.
What he's saying is that it happened after, that they have nothing, they have none of the gods, none. You don't find any of that. So that claim, that alone should tell you from an anthropologist that it doesn't make sense that they came over from that side of the world, right? Mm. I wanted to time that and bring that out with this because you read that 5% of the population, people start saying, oh, see, they're Asian.
Right.
That's not why I brought that out. I'm trying to show you the modern influence that they have there.
Right.
Now, are there probably some mixed Chinese with Northern Kingdom? Sure, right? But guess what? You're the seat of your father. So if their father's Moab, then they not Israel.
Right.
They not Israel. Then they not Israel. Okay. Well, someone said we need a blooper segment, right? Yeah, we do need to chop up and do a blooper segment, right?
I just knew I had.
I think that'll be funny, right? Like at the end of movies where they show the bloopers and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That'll be kind of cool. To do something like that. So, let's do the video first, all right? So we could show them, and then we'll talk about the other things and the influence of China in there.
You good over there, bro?
So it's the Instagram, China taking over Peru?
Yep, it's right here.
Okay, let's play this. How long is this one?
How long is it?
A minute, 5 seconds.
Minute.
Oh, not bad at all. Okay, show it.
South America turning into China's backyard.
Stop, you hear that?
Yeah.
He said South America's turning into China's backyard.
The continent.
Not
a country.
The continent, right? Go ahead, come on.
China dominates the lithium sector in the lithium-rich triangle of Bolivia, Chile, and Argentina.
Stop. So a lot of times we talk about oil, we talk about gold, and we think that there's no more riches there. The Most High truly blessed the northern tribe. When you read those blessings in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33, he truly blessed those tribes as they moved there, okay, as they went there. So Argentina and Chile's Naphtali, Bolivia is dealing with Asher still, but he says that some of the biggest lithium stores are there, and since the other countries have went to other places for that,
like
the other world parlors, like to Africa and stuff, they're laying their claim to the mountains here to be able to mine the lithium, all right?
Right, right.
Because that's the next great metal for all the electronics and batteries
and things like that.
Urang, sir?
Benton?
Yes, sir. I was just going to make reference to when you actually talked about the empires that were in South America, like with that blessing that they have, because they didn't just live in tents and huts. They had great empires that was made with these golds and these other there as well.
Yes, absolutely. And we've gone over there on the show. We weren't there wearing loincloths when they came. That's how they depicted us after that. After they robbed our clothes because it had gold and jewels woven into it.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. We had to wear freaking loincloths and stuff like that.
Right.
We spent a few episodes. I don't know if those are still up or we had to. Tenochtitlan. Right. We went over a bunch of that stuff and how they were amazed at all the system.
Yep.
And it's funny because I was telling the I don't know if it was all of you. It wasn't on the bus. I think it was on the side in camp. Might have been telling Captain Zeff and some of the officers. One of the things that bugged me out about Peru was just how they have all their markets and commerce set up.
Mm.
And that seems to be the place everywhere we go. And you would think that this is relatively common, but it reminded me of the book, American Holocaust, because it was set up in that regard. When you read in that book, it talks about how they had one street that was all for like soaps. They had one street and it's kind of similar to that. It, to some extent, a little loosely, but like you'll go down one block and it's all kind of shirts and clothes.
Mm.
You cross the street to another section and they're selling all food. They're all selling different food and things like that. So it's like those things kind of stayed with them of how they roll like that. Because like I said, Peru was a modern city, but like 80s modern, right? Like, so if you know the 80s, right, then you'll know what I'm saying. If not, you know, look up 80s. Like, I feel like it was modern in that regard, like 1980s modern. So they're still, you know, a few decades behind as far as certain things. But that essence of the way they did the markets and things like that and the way they lined the streets and everything is still kind of present there.
Spiritual.
Can I bring something out real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me get Deuteronomy 28, verse 43 and 44. Is the video up on the screen. Put the video, make sure we got this video showing up on the screen. Don't play it or nothing. But I just want to show you something real quick. So you see right here where they got the star signifying that's where the lithium deposits are stored. Chile, Bolivia, and Argentina, right?
Which Lord's Will Lies Last, with your help from the Booster Club,
mm-hmm.
we're going to hit Chile and Argentina
right.
this year.
Oh, great. Right.
Right.
Oh,
put
that plug in there real quick.
Do that.
What you talking about?
Uh-oh.
Huh? Not after that Viracocha.
I know what not to say.
Did.
Damn.
I know what...
Boy, have you lost your mind?
Exactly.
I'll help you find it.
Exactly. Give me that.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse
43.
The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high.
Check this out. China done moved in, and now South America is their backyard. Read.
And thou shalt come down very low.
Now, Officer Ashaya said, Benson said, we used to have thriving empires all up and through South America.
Right.
But now what you got? You got street vendors and markets. Meanwhile, read that. Come on.
He shall lend to thee,
uh-huh.
and thou shalt not lend to him.
This is the part I want.
He shall be the head,
uh-huh.
and thou shalt be the tail.
Meanwhile, China is coming through South America and extracting the natural resources that they're making billions upon billions of dollars on, and our people got little market huts selling their wares on the corner.
But that's what a lot of these larger companies, America does it with the African countries, the different places in Africa. We were talking about Haiti earlier. They're doing the same. They're doing it to all of Israel, just worldwide.
But watch the point, though. Those resources are in our countries. Why don't we have the resourcefulness to mine those things our own?
Same thing with Africa.
That's my point.
Right.
Well, you know, I might have to go back and watch it. It's a documentary, so it can get a little dry, but it's so I've mentioned it so many times. We might have to do segments of that because they probably won't shut us down to show clips of that because it's available freely on YouTube. The End of Poverty. And it talks about all the riches that are in South and Central America and different countries, but how these other countries, specifically America, do us over there with those resources.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole process of they'll teach us and train us to extract it, but not to refine it,
to use
it for anything.
Right.
So we ship it out, and then when it's refined, it comes back in a more expensive form. So if you think lithium's worth a lot raw,
right.
when they send it back to you with an iPhone and a lithium-ion battery,
right.
and they send it back to you with electronics that have lithium in them and things like that,
right.
it's that much more. Mm-hmm. Like the little bit of lithium that goes into – and now obviously there's other components that go into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is they send it back. So I'll oversimplify it. All the wood that comes out of the forest over there, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The wood has a premium price, right?
Right.
They'll teach us to harvest it so that we can send it out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make the furniture somewhere else and then sell the furniture back to us for then more than what we sold the wood for.
Right.
And this is on a grand scale, not an individual scale. And this is how these countries wind up staying so low. Venezuela, I'm not saying that some of these leaders don't become very dictator-like, but Venezuela has, was it the second or third? Look up the fact, largest oil reserve in the world.
Right.
And Venezuela's currency and their economy is crap right now because of the sanctions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's their oil reserve?
19.38% of all known oil reserves were found in South America country.
Golly.
Saudi Arabia followed at 17%.
So we got more than Saudi Arabia.
So Venezuela has more than Saudi Arabia. And that's not including the oil in Brazil.
Put that up.
All right. Venezuela is oil rich, right? That's when you read about Asher dipped in oil, right?
Yes,
sir. It talks about that stuff. Well, we're going to read out those verses in a second to see why the Chinese are over there. But Venezuela should be all the countries in South America.
Yeah, because you think of Saudi Arabia.
They should be like Wakanda.
God dang it.
He said you took my word.
Exactly.
Not Wakanda. What was Namor's city? Because that was supposed to be Northern Kingdom.
Let's go!
They should be like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right? Africa should be, all of Africa, where Israel should be like Wakanda.
Right.
And South America should be like Atlantis.
Right.
All right? With all the wealth and all the resources. Right, because that was, you know, they they obviously push a woman empowerment agenda in all these movies now. Just a quick sidebar, because some people might not agree that the second Black Panther was pushing that agenda, but it really was. It relegated all that
can do what a man
to the background. Yeah, exactly. And the whole, oh, you can do it and all this
and
stuff.
And woman power together. Unite.
Just a quick sidebar. There was a movie called Red Sonja that came out back in the day. That Conan used to mess with her. And they're redoing it. And the chick that's starring in it now saying that it was done through a men's lens, and now it's going to be about women empowerment.
Oh wow!
So I'm like, oh my gosh!
Hell no.
And you notice that they make the female, they make the heroine a female now all the time, right?
Yep. And
pushing a lot
flat.
Of that stuff, right? So like they got they got a lot of movies.
The
Marvels. You got and she's the most powerful character.
Yeah, Woman King.
Her and the
She-Hulk.
Scarlet Witch.
Woman King.
They even did it in Avengers Endgame. They had
they
that one scene where they show all the women.
All
together, and they're like, "We got you, Peter Parker." You know, because the man can't help himself. So yeah, she says it's very woman empowered. The reboot. It's gonna subvert. They call it the male gaze trope.
Oh
right?
My god.
Damn.
So whatever.
It's gonna flop.
Anyway, going back. South America should be like Atlantis.
Yeah, straight up.
With all its resources, all right? So go back to the picture before we go back to the video. So they're just talking about this here, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to show more as we continue to unpack this for today. And I don't know. I want to go into the Ephraim thing, too. We'll see how far along I get. I'll see how we go. Let me get that in Deuteronomy 33. I'm going to show you. That's dealing with Naphtali and Asher. Deuteronomy 33 and 23.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 23. And Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south.
Right, so that's how we know when we're looking at this over here. Mm-hmm. You combine that with what we know in Second Ezra's. You combine that with what we know of the split and how they came over here, right? And you'll see, what is he talking about? And I think you brought this out, that the map in Egypt and the tribes, it's not the way it's set up here.
Look
so,
up map of the tribes of Israel.
They try to say that this is for that time over there. Mm. But to let you know that it's the last days, first of all, Genesis 49 tells you that, right?
Well, look up the maps of the tribes of Israel. Jump down to verse 17. Because it tells you what part of history. Start at verse 1. 33 and 1.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 1. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death.
Give me a picture of that. Come on. So this is the blessing of Moses to the children of Israel. Now, this is talking about Moses saw the ending. So now, jump down to verse 17.
Verse 17. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock. And his horns are like the horns of unicorns. Mm-hmm. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth.
So now Ephraim is going to push the people to the other side of the earth. Now
to the ends of the earth. Let's not say, because people say, oh, it didn't say other side. It says the ends of the earth. That by itself should let you know that it's not talking about here.
Right.
Moses was where? In the wilderness in Sinai.
Right.
Right.
Which was that region.
Right.
Come on. Give me
so something. Now when you look at, can we get the map of how hard is it to just get any one of them and put it up on the screen large? What are you guys doing? Oh, the resolution.
Just look, go back.
Oh, my goodness. We're building up to it to show you.
On the free throw line.
Oh, my gosh.
On the free throw line.
Oh, my gosh. I should see if my freaking Bible has it.
Go
and
back
just
and
do
stop,
that one.
Stop doing, like, large images. Go to the one all the way to the left. Yes. That one's better. Thank you. Grab that
one. Oh, yeah. Remind me to use these maps, too, when we go over Hellenism, because
right
it shows Macedon.
Right there. Give me that one. That one's good. Right click. Who is it? Is that new booty in the back?
Damn.
In the booth.
Open image. Come on. No? And are we going to be all right?
Okay.
There we go. So now, Hallelujah. Let me read this now. Read 33 and 23 again. Officer Shai just showed you 2 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
It lets you know when you read verse one that he's
The blessing,
all right?
Mm-hmm. Of Moses.
Okay. That Moses. Read verse 2, 33 and 2.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them.
Right, letting you know that where they were. So now when you read 17 and he talks about the ends of the earth, he's not talking about when they get into the land here.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, read 23, and you'll see the blessing. Go ahead, come on.
Verse 23. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south.
Now, let's put this map up. Don't have me up on the screen. Put the map up. Okay.
And zoom in.
No, leave it. Leave it just like that.
Okay.
Leave it just like that. Okay. Now, when you look at this map, where is Asher? Where is Naphtali?
In the north.
North, central.
Northwest.
Right. But the blessing, for those that say this isn't talking about now, we just read that it says, possess the west and the south.
Right.
So did they not listen to Moses?
Right.
Joshua followed after Moses.
Right.
Vehemently. Yeah.
That's heavy.
So would he not have said, damn, Moses said west and south?
Right.
Let's set them up when we get in the land, in the west and the south?
Right.
It's not talking about then.
Right.
It's talking about now. Now show the map of South America.
Right.
All right?
Deacon.
Because it's the west.
You know what's heavy about that? Like just the way, because you started in the beginning in verse 1 and 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you read the chapter, it's manifestation, because for verse 17, for Ephraim to push them to the ends of the earth, it allowed it to manifest to verse 23.
Right.
So it's a progression of prophecy throughout the entire chapter.
And that happened, that prophecy came true with Ephraim pushing them to the ends of the earth in 2 Ezra 13.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. You'll read when it talks about that. Now, leave this map up and read. You guys still haven't figured out picture in picture yet, right? Homework.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 33:23. That way we can stay up on the screen and still show this footage, big screen. 33 and 23. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 23.
We just showed you on the historical map, for those who say it's not what we say it is,
right?
That Naphtali was in the north, north central, not even northwest. Asher was in the west.
Right.
Right? Go ahead. Come on.
And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south.
The west and south, southwest, that's Argentina and Chile. That is the tribe of Naphtali today, so that we may know where they're at. And it says favor from the Lord. They had those riches from the Andes, okay, and the resources of those mines still to this day. You got that lithium over there, all
right?
Keep reading.
Verse 24, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with the children.
I'm going to talk about that when I talk about the 10,000 of Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what does Asher have to do with Ephraim?
Mm-hmm.
Those where we can get to that today.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been waiting for two weeks.
I am. Plus, plus.
Maybe we plus, plus it.
Let's
we ain't got nobody after us no more.
Boy.
Go ahead. Come on.
Look at God.
Go ahead.
And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil.
We were just talking about Venezuela, and they have Saudi Arabia's behind them.
Right.
Notice the whole world talks about OPEC. That's the oil cartel. And they talk about Saudi Arabia's production because Saudi Arabia is playing ball with the United States.
Right.
And the rest of the world. Venezuela didn't want to. Brazil has oil reserves. Venezuela has oil reserves. They didn't want to. They have more oil. Can we get one that shows where they rank? I don't know if they're number one or
oil rankings.
I know that they're behind. Right.
Go back to what we looked up of Venezuela, and then there was charts in there. There was charts in there. So go back to the Venezuela. You just looked it up as like what did we say? Venezuela oil reserves. Yeah. Now go to the right. Let's see the largest reserves.
Oh, yeah.
Go. Nope, not that one. That one. See what that is. Go down.
There it is, right there.
Just go down. Damn these things. Right
there.
There we go.
Venezuela's number one.
Venezuela's number one.
Full
with Saudi Arabia number two.
Venezuela's number one.
Yeah, man.
You hear all this stuff about the Middle East. Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world.
You don't there we are.
About it.
Hey.
How do you have
brothers
what they call
now.
Liquid gold?
Right.
And they ain't got no gold.
And you have the largest amount of it in the whole world, on the whole planet. Yet you're one of the most economically distraught countries.
Right.
How do you not walk around swinging
with golden clothes on?
Swinging a big stick.
Yeah, that
right,
part.
Right.
That's it.
Having the largest oil reserves in the world. and yet you're one of the poorest countries?
That's wild.
Something ain't right. Something ain't right. They should be running the show.
Yes,
as far as oil production and all of that.
Straight up.
I spoke about this a little bit when I went into the Comic-Con,
mm-hmm.
when Cuba had its heyday, and they were in that alliance with China and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the Soviet Union at the time.
Mm.
And Cuba was thriving because they had Venezuela on their side, so they had unlimited oil.
Mm-hmm.
Russia has oil, too, but they were able to basically – certain countries were able to deal with each other despite the U.S.'s blockades that they had. And it wasn't until the Soviet Union collapsed that that whole Comic-Con fell apart, right?
Deacon, when we were in Curaçao and Aruba, they said everything gets imported now from Dutch countries and stuff like that, right? But he said we used to do trade with Venezuela – and we things were cheaper. So a lot of the things that they have now is a lot more expensive because they can't do trade with Venezuela.
Right, right. So they have 18.2% is the one that I'm looking at now. I think you saw one that said it was 19.8 of the world's share of oil.
Yeah.
Of known oil reserves.
Bro, they doubled number four.
So let's go back. Let's read this. Deuteronomy 33. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 24.
Read it out.
The master, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil.
Right. Go ahead. Come on.
Thy shoes shall be iron and brass.
Right. It should be because why?
Lithium.
All the lithium, all the different ores that they have there in South America. Go ahead. Come on.
Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be.
Right. So it's going into that they would still that pairs well with where it says, and there they'll dwell until the latter days.
Mm-hmm.
It says, as thy days shall our strength be, meaning they're still alive.
Right.
They're not gone.
Right.
Right. They will survive as a tribe and as a people. The majority of South America is basically Asher and Naphtali.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's where you find Asher and Naphtali. All right, and that's that south and the west that's there. What were you going to
One more point about that verse 24. Read that part again.
Verse 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children.
Asher has a lot of children. South America is just flowing with our people. There's so many. You talk about sand of the sea. A lot of them.
No, but I got, don't.
No, no.
Yes, it's flowing with our people, but that's not the heavier for that.
Oh, snap. All right, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
He
stop with your 1 more second.
Wait, real quick.
Just stop with you real quick. you know what? I think Sis is Sarai's from Venezuela. She says that the USA says that it's not good oil. That's why they don't deal with them.
Because
how thick it is. Supposedly they have to spend billions of dollars to thin it out and get used.
Get that's some help.
So much bullshit.
Cap. Crafty.
Now,
man, that's crafty nonsense, bro. We can't use your oil.
Right.
Hey, I forgot the previous president, I think, was given free gas when things were crazy, like to the hood.
Yeah.
I forgot. Is it Sitco? Sitco was like
you
the
were
Venezuelan
talking about
oil.
It, right?
Yeah,
you were talking about
it was. It wasn't. It was like maybe less than 20 years ago. There was a whole big thing, and like gas was crazy. And he wound up building. He was giving free gas to certain countries, and he was doing something here in the States with like poorer areas. And he was putting like Sitcos there and selling the gas for cheap.
That's crazy.
Because I think Sitco, if I'm not mistaken, Sitco was Venezuelan. It was at one time. I don't recall fully.
That's heavy.
But I think it was Venezuelan.
Watching gas.
I forgot the previous president's name.
Shit. The one they killed. Right? You rang?
The little city that I'm from, right outside of Selma. That was the only gas station that we had.
Hugo Chavez.
Yes. Okay. So here it is. Sitco entities are directly and indirectly owned by Petroelios de Venezuela, all right? So it's a Venezuelan national oil company, all right? It's a Venezuelan national oil company. The Venezuelan government owns most of it. So whenever you see a Sitco, that's Venezuelan gas.
Dang.
So if you want to support
Northern
Kingdom, stop at a Sitco, right? They don't benefit. They're saying something about the sanctions that they put in place in 2019. But anyway, Sitco's Venezuela. Sitco's the Venezuelan gas station. And I remember them helping out, right? That's what it was.
Sarai
says Chavez gave a bunch of oil when Katrina happened and gas.
And it wasn't that thick then.
Right. No, she said, no, but then they were telling them it's thick so they couldn't use it.
Stop it. Where'd it go? Give it back.
Right. Then it wasn't too thick, right?
Right.
Then it wasn't too thick to bring that out. Yeah, it was Chavez. That's right. It was Hugo Chavez. Damn, man.
Hey, shout out to Valiente. He's watching us from Peru.
Oh, right. Jacob. Yes, that's another thing. And we went over this when we spoke about Cuba. Venezuela has been a big brother to all the Caribbean nations. They do a lot of stuff with Cuba still to this day. Mm. They share resources. Remember, we went over how the Cuban doctors are some of the best in the world.
Right, right.
And Venezuela also has very good doctors. Mm-hmm. It's just because of this embargo and this stuff. This is all stuff we've covered on the show. Maybe when it wasn't as popular, so people don't remember or whatever it was. But we've gone over a lot of stuff on the Power Hour. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff we missed. Some of the stuff we got to maybe look to run back.
Yep.
I know you sent me the Evolution class. I want to review that and run that back a little bit. What they call evolution, you find in the Bible, but it's not really evolution that we came from monkeys.
Right.
Right. But yeah, yeah. Yep. Why did the children of Asher build pyramids?
Get that in Maccabees.
No, get me the one where it says there they worship other gods. No, there's another one in Hosea. Wait, you get the Maccabees one.
Get the one in Maccabees about the pyramids. You know what I'm talking about? And Hosea chapter 8 and 14.
Hold on. Let me make sure that's the one I want.
8 and 14. About building temples?
Yeah.
The book of Hosea chapter 8 and verse 14.
Right. So to your question, brother, what did he say? Why did the children of Asher build pyramids? Are they disrespecting the forefathers? Yes, so they were. But this was a prophecy, and it wasn't just Asher. It was all Northern Kingdom when they came over here. All right, go ahead.
Also, Ravine, you in the shot.
The book of Hosea, chapter 8 and verse 14.
Uh-huh.
Israel have forgotten his maker.
Right, and my Bible has maker capitalized. That's Viracocha.
Hey,
right? They said the God Almighty, the creator of all, right?
Yes, sir.
His maker. They did know him at one time, but then it got twisted. And that goes into the things that Alexander wound up doing eventually, too, with the mixing of cultures.
Right.
And I've spoken about that before when I've gone over Second Ezra's, how you find things from Babylon here. You find things from – because remember, Persia conquered Babylon.
Right.
Babylon was the capital city of Persia. That's where Darius sat.
Right.
It was considered a prize.
Right.
And some of the resources he gave him, it wasn't just coin.
The gold you were talking about.
He was giving him gold statues and things like that of Egyptian gods because they were ruling Egypt, Persia.
Yep.
So there's a lot – it just all goes together
right.
when you look at this stuff historically. So they still had, though they intended to come over here to be away from the nations, to keep the laws, statutes, and commandments,
right.
they still had those gods in their mind.
Mm.
So as those elders died off, the younger that had this fresh, just like now how you see the way the younger generation is in extreme foolish things that we would have never thought to do
right.
when we were their age,
yeah.
it's they carried those traditions with them. And spiritually, because what? Moses went up to the mountain for a long season.
Mm-hmm.
They started making golden calves and
yep.
stuff like that. So it was in the nature of all Israel to do this, but specifically Northern Kingdom and your pyramid question. Go ahead, read this.
For Israel have forgotten his maker and buildeth temples.
And buildeth temples. They forgot their maker and buildeth temples. Go ahead, come on.
And Judah have multiplied fenced cities.
Judah did the same thing. Mm. Go ahead.
But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof.
And for Northern Kingdom, that happened in the form of the conquistadors that came. They
right.
were the ones that brought the fire, right? And they wound up destroying a lot of these things, and they became ruins, okay? They became, like we were talking about Machu Picchu, the remnant that were able to go up there, and they built these type of things over there, all right? So let's go back to the China video. We gave some things. Let's run it back from the beginning, okay?
Why is South America turning into China's backyard? China dominates the lithium sector in the lithium-rich triangle of Bolivia, Chile, and Argentina, housing 70% of global lithium reserves.
Stop.
Golly.
So not just the oil.
So remember, we're in Deuteronomy 33, favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
That how it says iron and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that's Naphtali when he says Chile and Argentina, but
iron
notice on the cusp of where Asher is with Bolivia. Just the resources and the blessings, 70%
of the world's
lithium.
Bruh.
That's crazy.
Bruh.
And now with everything that they're doing with electric cars, you need that to make lithium-ion batteries and things like that,
right?
the way technology is driven, right? So China's really jumping in there. It's Wakanda. It's freaking Atlantis.
They're pirates. Right.
Go ahead. Come on.
Their influence extends through financial support, construction projects, and space-based surveillance.
Stop.
Damn.
Since they don't have their own space program, they help them with satellites and surveillance and
that's
things like
crazy,
that, construction projects, and economically. But what they do is they sign these leases the same way America did with, like, the Panama Canal, right? In perpetuity throughout the universe type stuff, right?
Yep.
That's one thing I got from the Whitney Houston thing. They actually throw that in there, how they do these artists.
Damn.
And they were reading, they read that, it's dialogue in the script to show you that, like, they were saying, like, she only made $250 million in her career.
Right.
Including what her father frivolously spent. They go into that. But it's that one line. Because, you got to think about it. If these artists are making that much money, how are the people behind them?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If they're letting them make that many much. Millions, how many billions they make?
Right.
But anyway, same type of deal here. So they signed these contracts in perpetuity, saying that we're going to come help you develop the country and construction projects and things like that. So, you know, people, I don't know where you get this nonsense that Northern Kingdom they're not our people. First of all, we just showed you that they're not Chinese.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're not Asian. All right. I don't know why you're listening. You don't listen to the white man for nothing else, but you're going to listen to them for that nonsense that they came across the land bridge. That's not what the Bible says.
Crazy.
Hell no.
Bible tells you where they are. We just showed you very, very strongly, just one, all of the prophecies of where we would be in the last days are very strong.
Right.
We just showed you that the Southwest is talking about South America, not over there where they had the Israel map. So you're out of your damn minds with all this nonsense, and you don't know the Bible, right? So it says construction projects, space projects, currency. Go ahead. Come on.
A significant presence. China's trade of $307 billion in South America surpasses the U.S. at $156 billion, reflecting a shift in influence. Notable trade percentages include 34% in Chile, 28% in Brazil and Peru, 20% in Uruguay, 19% in Ecuador, 18% in Colombia and Paraguay, and 14% in Bolivia and Argentina. Venezuela, a key partner, secured $62 billion in loans. Wow. China strategically builds military influence, exemplified by projects like the Chiang Kai port in Peru and the Despacio de Hana station in Argentina's deep space.
The Chiang Kai port in Peru has become a major point of commerce coming from the West. So dealing with all those Asian countries coming right into there, into that port, right?
Go to that article. We're not going to read the whole thing.
So scroll it back a little bit. Scroll it back a little bit. Let's finish the video. Finish the video because it's almost done. Oh. All right. Go ahead.
Secured $62 billion.
300 something billion.
Right there.
In influence. Notable trade percentages include 34% in Chile.
There's a little more.
America.
Little more. Just do 10 seconds.
Oh. Go ahead.
Of $307 billion in South America surpasses the U.S. at $156 billion.
So basically, it's double.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh.
Yeah.
What they're investing in South America versus the U.S.
Yep.
Right? Versus the U.S. And now he's going to tell you how they're in every country, how they allocate those $307 billion in investments. Go ahead, come on.
In influence, notable trade percentages include 34% in Chile, 28% in Brazil and Peru, 20% in Uruguay, 19% in Ecuador, 18% in Colombia and Paraguay, and 14% in Bolivia and Argentina. Venezuela, a key partner, secured $62 billion in loans. China strategically builds military influence, exemplified by projects like the Chiang Kai port in Peru and the Despacio de Hana station in Argentina's deep space network.
I need to find the rest of this video. There's more.
Yeah, that's heavy.
I think in the link they probably show subsequent ones. I'm going to look for it so we can look a little more into it. But this was just a little taste.
So I was looking at how I was doing this paper on how the British conquered the East Indians, right? They got them through setting up trade posts, military back forts around the different sectors in the country, and they also use economic manipulation in order to secure the country of India.
Right. So we were reading how they're trying to basically take over the utility companies in South America.
That's
the article?
Go to the articles, please, that I posted. We don't have to go through them. Just read the titles. That's exactly what we're going to go over. Chiangkai, let's go. Come on. Articles that I posted.
And the articles.
Go ahead.
Chinese backport project in Peru to be the gateway from South America to Asia.
That's the Changhua, whatever port that he said they're building in Peru.
Just a little bit. Chiangkai.
Well, show the picture. So they're building this big project there. What year was this article? Is this recent?
2023.
So they started in August 2023. Go ahead. Come on.
Chiangkai, Peru. Dozens of cranes lift blocks weighing several tons and drop them to compact the soil of a roughly 1 square mile area on Peru's Pacific coast. Mm-hmm.
Read the second paragraph.
No, finish. Read it in. Don't jump. Read it in.
Part of China's most ambitious port project in Latin America designed to facilitate trade between the regions. The port of Chiangkai, 60 kilometers, 37 miles north of Peruvian capital of Lima, will be the gateway from South America to Asia.
The gateway from South America to Asia. Come on.
The gateway from South America to Asia, said Mario de las Casas, institutional affairs manager of Costco Ship, a Chinese state-owned company that is the majority owner of the project.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
De las Casas said $1.3 billion project will offer a direct route to China with a travel time reduction for ships of 10 days. Costco officials say ships traveling from South America to China normally take more than 45 days with stops in Central America, Mexico, or the United States. Offering a deep water port, Chiangkai will be able to handle container ships that can't dock elsewhere in South America. Mm. De las Casas said the port is part of China's Belt and Road Initiative. China has been investing in infrastructure and logistics around the world for years. There are ports in Greece, in Spain, in Africa, all over the world.
Keep scrolling. Yeah. What else they got? Is that it? Keep going. Okay, come on.
Isaac B. Cardone, a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, who has researched China's
Maritime
affairs, estimated that as of July 2020, there were at least 95 ports in the world operated in whole or in part by Chinese capital.
Jump down. They're all over L.A. Yeah. Where the ships come in. That's, they got all their little Chinese companies there that facilitate the stuff you buy from China.
Right.
They come into L.A., and then from L.A., they ship them everywhere else into the country. Jump to where it says this long-term project.
The original Chinatown. This long-term project reflects a concerted Chinese strategy to extend its maritime trade and logistics footprint to all of the key maritime points on the globe, he said. This global port gamble by Chinese firms is raising concerns among U.S. officials. I see the concern from a commercial point of view, said De las Casas, the Costco official, pointing out that Chinese state-owned company is present in 37 ports around the world, including in Los Angeles, California.
In L.A. So I was just saying they have all that whole port over there in L.A. They got that thing on lock, right? Let me see what else they got from here. Was there something else you wanted to point out here or just that?
No, just that. And there's another article just real quick. So
okay, hold on.
This is the...
Read that. No, hold on.
Sorry,
read that.
First stage.
Costco shipping.
Costco Shipping holds a 60% stake in the Chiangkai port, with Peru's Vulcan holding the other 40%.
Right, so they are the majority owners of the investment in that, right? And I'm sure Vulcan behind that, that's not all Peruvian people. It got to be some other nations and some influencers in the government that are dealing with that. So by the end of 2024, they say that the first stage of that's going to be completed. So you see this big investment in the region. There was some other articles we posted too. What do you want to bring up?
The other article, there's no other video. That's the whole thing.
Okay, there was another article I think I put, and I had one. I don't know if I sent it.
Can I get a script?
Go to the one I sent real quick.
What are you going to get?
Jeremiah 30 and 16.
Okay, yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah, because this, watching the whole video, and it really vexed me. I'm a be real. Like, watching all the resources we have, you can see that these other established countries are capitalizing on our demise. They, like, when Officer Ruvain brought out Deuteronomy 28:43 and 44, that thing is heavy and it's real. Right now, they are lending to us, and we have no power, and we're the ones with the resources.
We're the ones with the resources. That's
crazy as hell.
Crazy.
Okay, I got you, David. I got you.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee.
They're not just eating off of us. They're devouring us. Mm-hmm. They are devouring us. Read.
Shall be devoured.
The scripture says they shall be devoured. Read.
And all thine enemies.
All thine what?
Adversaries.
All of our adversaries, read.
Every one of them shall go into captivity.
Not just the so-called Edomite today, the so-called white man, but it says every one of them. Because we get so caught up on Esau and the evil that he does on the earth, we forget about these other countries that have a big part in the downfall of us as a nation. Mm-hmm. So he says all of thine adversaries, what?
Shall go into captivity.
Every one of them shall go into captivity. Read.
And they that spoil thee.
Because they're spoiling us. We're a spoil to them. They see the advantages. They see the resources, and they're taking it from us.
Right.
Read.
So hold on, because some people think spoil is like, you know, a spoiled little brat that gets everything.
Right.
No, what it means is like that's like the spoils of war. Like
right.
We were reading in the Maccabees the other night. Whenever
right.
we won, we took spoils from them, right?
Right.
That included their weapons, their resources, whatever
their
they
people.
Had. When it says that we become a spoil for them, is that we're just a way for them to continue to increase their wealth.
Yep.
Yes.
Right. That's why the scripture talks about the forces of the Gentiles.
Yep. Bending
right.
Yeah,
us
they're
bring right.
It, yeah.
Right. They're gonna bring it back to us
right.
because that's the stuff that was ours anyway.
Right.
Right. Their wealth was built off those things. Go ahead.
And so, they. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Read.
And they that spoil thee.
They that they're robbing us. Read.
Shall be a spoil.
They're going to be spoiled
that's
themselves.
That's the forces of the Gentiles being brought into our gates.
Right.
They're gonna pay taxes to us. You done with that?
No. Read that last part.
And all that prey upon thee.
Because they see us as a prey. Mm-hmm. You got predators and you got prey. Right now they see us in our lowest state. They seen the affliction. God said he chastened us, and they counted us like we're done away with, that we're not God's chosen people. But so read that again. All they that
prey upon thee.
They prey upon us. They take advantage of our lowest state and the lack thereof. Read.
Will I give for a prey?
God said these other nations that think that they're high right now, they're going to become a prey.
Mm-hmm. Read the part where it talks about the different nations. There was a couple lines up where you said something.
You want the same verse?
Yeah.
The adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Therefore, all they that devour thee,
all they that devour thee, go ahead, come on,
shall be devoured.
Let's get Psalms 83 so we can mm-hmm. see the all day.
Bring it.
Because who's the all day?
Right.
Bring it.
Is it the ones that don't believe on white Jesus Christ?
Bring it.
Because Christianity will say, no, that's that. First, if they don't say it was fulfilled already, they'll say, no, that's not talking about nations. That's not talking about nations. They'll tell you that's talking about people who don't believe in white Christ.
Right.
Right? Because they got this. You see how when you go away from what the Bible says, it makes your doctrine that much harder to prove.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's laughable that our people defend that stuff so much, because what makes the most sense is what we're saying.
Right.
What we're teaching.
Built right. on a rock.
What the Bible actually says
right.
and yeah. us bringing out that understanding.
Right. right.
Christianity and everything that stems from it, you have to jump through so many hoops
mm.
and so many fallacies to accept that
right.
as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible contradicts all their doctrine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Each and every last one of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why after this, get me the one which says the turning of things will be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Yes, sir.
But go ahead. Let's read Psalms 83 and...
You want two and then jump to six?
Two. And nope, let's read
okay,
two
I'm
and we're going to
right,
jump
pray.
To six.
This is the book of... Psalms chapter 83 verse 2.
Yeah.
Hello, thine enemies make a tumult.
Right, and we know the enemies is the heathen, the other nations. Right, you read that in Nehemiah. Go ahead, come on.
And they that hate thee have lifted up the head.
Uh-huh.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
And this crafty counsel has, you know, we come to this a lot when we talk about the other nations.
Yeah.
And that crafty counsel, like it has no ends.
Right.
Like, we wind up coming back to it and back to it and back. Somebody burped?
This guy.
It was me.
Yeah,
that
right.
was you.
Look, I'm the
and
first
was,
one to get
was,
the shot. Out. Look at this.
You know what?
You know what a hot sauce is for?
I mean, you do have the drink, so that's why.
Come on. Read this again.
For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. and they that hate thee have lifted up the head.
Right. They that hate of has lifted up the head. Come on.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
Right. And some of this crafty counsel is the stuff we're reading with the Chinese right now, amongst a multitude of other things. Go ahead. Come on.
And consulted against thy hidden one.
Uh-huh.
They have said, come, let
us. So you may think that because they're divided now.
Right.
That this playbook is gone. The crafty council.
Right.
They made this pact in confederacy once upon a time together, and it's in perpetuity till this day.
And all the fullness thereof.
So though they may not be on one accord with each other anymore,
right,
in other relations, in this one thing, they keep milking that playbook.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Come on.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel maybe no more in remembrance.
And it started with that, right? Mm. Because a house divided cannot stand.
Right.
So if you say you're this and you're that, what are you going to do? You're going to war against each other.
Yep,
you think you're different people. Go ahead, come on.
For they have consulted together with one consent.
Uh-huh.
They are confederate against
thee. Regardless of them, what they say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
Right? Regardless of how they may deal with each other. Because you read these nations that we're about to read, and a lot of them are at odds with each other.
Right.
But in one thing, are they all in agreement?
Right.
And it's what they're going to continue to do for us, right? Go ahead, come on.
The tabernacles of Edom.
Uh-huh, which is the so-called white man today.
And the Ishmaelites.
Yes, the Arabs as well.
Right.
Go ahead.
Of Moab.
Of Moab, which is the Chinese. Okay, go ahead, come on.
And the Hagarene.
All right, that's dealing with the Africans, right? That's Ham. Go ahead, come on.
Gabal.
Uh-huh.
And Ammon.
Uh-huh.
And Amalek.
Ammon is the Japanese and Amalek is the Jewish. Okay, go ahead, come on.
The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre.
Right, so you're dealing with more Ham. Assur goes into Iraq. Okay, go ahead, come on.
Assur also is joined with them.
Uh-huh.
They have hoping the children of Lot.
That's the rest of the Asians that have their agenda against us.
Okay.
Right. So you see the manifestation of those things still to this day. Let's read this article now real quick.
Explainer, China's free trade agreements in Latin America. AS/COA online looks at Beijing's bilateral trade pacts with Chile, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Nicaragua, and Peru.
As I said, it's the whole region. It's the whole region.
Pacific and Atlantic.
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
China's trade relationship with the Americas keeps growing. On February 7th, Ecuador's National Assembly ratified the free trade pact that the country signed with China in May 2023. Under President Guillermo Lasso, I got that? Yeah, I did that.
You get an eight.
2021 to 2023. That makes Ecuador the fifth Latin America country with a free trade pact with Beijing. And the move comes weeks after Nicaragua's came into effect on January 1st. These join China's existing agreements with Chile, Costa Rica, and Peru. The two new trade pacts come at a time of increasing Chinese engagement in the region. Trade with China went from 0.6% of Latin America's GDP in 2000 to 8.5% in 2021.
Right, because once the 2000s came around, see, this has overlap with the School of the Americas and everything else. The U.S. started to kind of turn away but neglect a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in the region, because from when they took over in the late 1800s during the Spanish-American War and started taking over everything that Spain had conquered up until now. So you're looking at late 1800s. So you're looking at a little over 100 years, right? 18, 19. Yeah. A little over 150 years is when they started to kind of pull back a little.
Mm.
Because they figured, we kind of milked it as much as we could.
Right.
Because if you think about it, in the early 2000s, nobody was thinking of the boom in electronics the way they are now. So with the lithium mines. Because you don't think America would have just jumped on the lithium mines?
Right.
You know?
It wasn't needed back then.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're looking elsewhere now for those sort of things, right? They're covertly doing stuff in Haiti with lithium because they have a mountain there that supposedly has a humongous store of lithium as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But they don't talk about that stuff. Haiti's rife with gang stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's American influence in there so that they can. What I foresee, and I don't know if it'll exactly go down like this, but I can't see any other way. America's going to go in there, clean up the gang stuff, and then really establish themselves there firmly so that they can more legitimately take the resources out of there that they got going on, right? And I say that because that's the same MO they did in destabilizing governments and things here in Central and South America, right? Let's go ahead. Keep reading. So in 2000, it was less than 1%. Right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Trade volume grew from $8.5 billion in 2000 to $180 billion in 2020.
Wow.
Bruh. Even as foreign direct investment has dipped in recent years, and growing trade is complemented by China's Belt and Road Initiative.
Right, and if you read about the Belt and Road Initiative, they're saying, look, we're going to help you modernize.
Mm.
We'll build these things,
mm-hmm.
right? But you got to sign this lease. You got to give us these resources for this much. You know, we're going to come with – because, look, we do it in our country, and we're so crowded, and we have one of the world's largest populations and everything. The United States is not helping you this way. They want to keep you in the Stone Age. Let us get some of your, you know, precious resources, and we're going to help you build infrastructure so that you can come into the 21st century.
You can't. The times are over with where you can just roll up in the country with your hosts and your military and just take their lunch money.
No.
Now you have to do it through embargoes and contracts
and
initiatives.
It's espionage still.
That's where,
and they still send people in to kill people that resist and all that stuff. It just happened here. You heard about the guy that was the whistleblower for Boeing? They found him dead in a parking lot.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep.
But the news is still talking about whatever nonsense.
Right.
Talking about
TikTok.
Trump and his BS TikTok.
Bang. Right.
Everybody ready to cry because TikTok going to be banned in the United States. Anyway, go ahead. Keep reading.
Oh, let's praise just finish this little part of the devil.
Cloud Hammer.
Where are we at? Trade experts.
Direct investment has dipped in recent years and growing trade.
And growing trade is complemented by China's Belt and Road Initiative, which has invested in long-term infrastructure projects, building stadia, libraries, and ports in 21 Latin American countries since 2013.
See that part right there? Building the ports? Those ports are not for the Latin Americans. Those ports are to get Chinese military up through there.
Yeah.
Damn.
Or to get the resources
out. Come on.
Trade, experts say, is an area in which the United States is under the threat of ceding ground to Beijing as Washington has stalled on inking agreements with countries in the region. However, a bipartisan bill introduced in March 2023 aims to expand trade benefits to Ecuador, and U.S. trade with the Western Hemisphere still increased by more than 300% between 2012 and 2022. As Latin America could find itself feeling the consequences of China's economic downturn, will the United States take advantage of the moment to deepen trade ties?
Whatever. Was there another article? We're going to start wrapping. I'm not going to get over into the 10,000 of
reasons. One more. Scroll. Is that the title? I want to read the title.
Look at that. Yep. Yeah, read it.
China increases control of Peruvian energy supply and state influence.
So not only are they going to control a port, the electric company, one of the main electric companies in Peru.
Mm.
So not only is, and I think there's another one, and I couldn't find it, a water company too. So they're gonna control water, electricity, and commerce in Peru.
They've already done that in Ghana, at least, and other countries in Africa.
Give me a second, that's just 15. Are you gonna get something?
This guy, bro.
It's the real quick show.
I saw you flipping, so that's why I stopped before
I asked for articles.
Stop it.
So that we could still go over there, and he just
real.
You know,
just
they got on him on the trip too, right? Because they saw that thing in him.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Stop it. Get some help.
This wasn't all. There was some other articles and some other pictures of influence. No. I want to show that stuff before we bring some other stuff out. Did we read the CNBC one? Why China has its eye on Latin America? And then there was one here, the Committee on Foreign Affairs. There's a map picture that can we blow up?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy?
Yeah, that's the picture.
A lot of times when we break down Deuteronomy 28 and we go into 47.
Yeah.
And for the want of all things, it's not just with Esau. He puts other, like China's one of these other nations where we have to serve our enemies for the want of all things.
Exactly.
Right.
That's crazy.
So look at what's happening here. And then I'm going to bring a scripture as I bring this out in a second. All right. Venezuela. Read that.
Venezuela remains the largest debtor nation to the to the PRC.
The People's Republic of China. Go ahead.
With an estimated $62 billion in loans taken since 2006.
Right. Oh, so that's the lend to them, and they will lend to us, right. And we will not lend to them.
Uh-huh.
Right? Let's read about Brazil.
Brazil. China Merchants Port Company bought 90% of the Brazilian TSB or TCP participation. Paqueos,
come on with it.
Which manages the port of Paranagua.
Paranagua.
I got that right. I did that.
Stop it.
We're at Paranagua.
Paranagua. Yeah, come on.
Parangua.
Parangua. But what about the other eight?
Paranagua.
Yes, sir. This is Brazil's most profitable and
Paranagua. Sorry, Paranagua.
Okay. Oh God.
Look.
Oh God. This,
I didn't see it.
Yes, sir.
It. Go ahead.
This is Brazil's most profitable and second largest port with operation worth $1 billion.
Go ahead.
In areas such as the city of Campinas in the state of São Paulo, the Brazilian government uses smart city technology provided by Huawei, Huawei and other blacklisted companies to control crime.
Blacklisted companies in America. But go ahead,
yes.
Come on.
These surveillance technologies, such as facial recognition capabilities, have come under intense scrutiny for the civil liberties implications.
Scroll down. Let's read Chile. We'll work our way back up. Mm-hmm. Chile, Argentina, then we'll get Peru. I want to read all of these because I want to show you something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, especially after this graphic, and then you can bring out what you want to bring out. Go ahead.
Chile. Between 2013 to 2022, China has invested more than $13.2 billion in Chile.
Uh-huh.
In 2020, China-Chile bilateral trade amounted to $44.3 billion,
uh-huh.
Then more than double the bilateral trade between Chile and the United States. In 2021, China remained Chile's largest trading partner and principal buyer of Chilean products, purchasing 38.4% of Chile's total exports.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Argentina. Joined the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, in February 2022, which could pave the way for increased Chinese investment. In the
Patagonia
region, PLA operates a space station in Argentina with no physical oversight by the Argentinian government.
Oh, they be doing whatever the hell they want in
there.
Go ahead, come on.
It can be used for satellite surveillance and has assisted China's moon missions.
Peru.
Since 2019, Peru has been a member of the Belt and Road Initiative, attracting billions in Chinese investments in its mining and energy sectors. Peru is China's largest trade partner and has invested $10.4 billion in Peru's mining sector. The country's mining industry accounts for close to 10% of Peru's GDP and is second largest producer of silver, zinc, and copper.
Right, go ahead.
Recently, a Chinese SOE purchased U.S. firm Sempra Energy's Peruvian assets, which included 83% in the country's Luz del Sur, the largest utility company.
So they're basically going to be the owners of the utilities in Peru now. Go ahead. Scroll up. Ecuador.
Ecuador's Minister of Production, Foreign Trade, and Investment, Julio José Prado, declared that negotiations for a free trade agreement, FTA, between China and Ecuador will conclude in 2022 and will be announced during their joint summit this December. Should Ecuador agree to the present terms of the FTA, they will become the fourth Latin American country to endorse a trade agreement with China after Chile, Peru, and Costa Rica. Ecuador owes China nearly $5 billion, equal to 11% of its total external debt, and Ecuador is estimated to repay 42% of it by 2024 with oil.
Oh, guess what? God. Ecuador got oil, too.
Wow.
All right?
Wow.
So remember, when it talks about Asher and oil, we think about Brazil. Venezuela's number one, and all of that region that's Asher is rich in oil reserves.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Go ahead. Come on.
Number two, Ecuador owes
China.
China's Sinohydro Corp built the $2.2 billion
Coca-Cola
Sinclair Hydro electric plant in the Napo province. Since 2016, it hasn't been operating at full capacity, and the Ecuador requested arbitration against the PRC through the International Chamber of Commerce to settle the dispute.
Let me get Zephaniah to
damn.
I think I'm going to get to the point.
Hey, while you get that, hey, Officer Tobias, it's Chilean, not Chilean.
Oh, God.
Chilean. Yes. He said Chilean. I didn't even hear that.
He said Chilean.
Can you say Chilean. That to Judah correcting him?
Look at his face.
Some people were like, leave Judah alone.
Look at his face.
Can you state your tribe for
I'm
Frank?
From the tribe of Judah. Sir.
You're from the tribe of Judah, correcting Judah.
Look
right?
at his face. Look at his face.
He said Coca-Cola.
No.
Tomato, tomato. Y'all know what I was saying.
No, I ain't with that. I ain't co-signing
that. Let's get to the point. Zephaniah 2 and 8.
The book is Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 8.
Uh-huh.
We have heard the reproach of Moab.
The Chinese, come on.
And the revelings. The revilings of the children of Ammon.
Right, Japan.
Whereby they have reproached my people.
Uh-huh, come on.
And magnified themselves against their borders.
They are
damn,
magnifying
damn.
Themselves, increasing their presence,
right.
increasing their wealth, okay,
out.
Against the border of Israel, right?
Damn.
These borders where we are in the last days. Come on.
Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts,
uh-huh.
the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom.
Oh,
my God.
Destroyed like Sodom, okay? Just like we were reading earlier in Jeremiah, it says they're going to get it for what they've done.
Right.
But the key point is verse 8 where it says they have magnified themselves against our borders.
Right.
Meaning our borders. They're making themselves present and known in these places
right.
in a big way to take over everything that's there. Go ahead. Come on.
And the children of Ammon as Gomorrah,
uh-huh.
even the breeding of nettles and salt pits.
This is what's in store for them, though, right? Go ahead,
damn.
Come on.
And a perpetual desolation.
Damn.
And the residue of my people shall spoil them.
Uh-huh.
And the remnant of my people shall possess them.
Right. That's like Amos 9,
God.
Where it says, once we're together again, we're going to possess the remnant of the heathen. Go
right.
ahead, come on.
Verse 10, this shall they have for their pride.
Because they have this pomp, this
They're
pride
right.
about them.
Right.
Right. I don't know. Well, any, like, Asian guy, especially Chinese that I've known, they
arrogant.
Got this. It's
right.
an arrogant pride that they have about themselves.
Almost as bad as Esau.
It's terrible. It's worse, I think, in some ways.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead. Come on.
This shall they have for their pride,
uh-huh.
because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's more here, but I just wanted to get to that point. I want Shai to bring out what he wants to bring out. We're not going to get to bring the 10,000s of Ephraim.
Damn.
So maybe you could change the title so I can save that for next week, all right? And just keep it as the Chinese invasion of South America. What you wanted to bring something
up? I just wanted him to just read verse 11. It'd make my teeth white.
Okay, go ahead.
The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 11. The Lord will be terrible unto them,
uh-huh.
for he will famish all the gods of the earth,
uh-huh.
and the men shall worship him,
uh-huh.
every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen.
That goes where it says we're going to be like their gods,
right.
everyone their gods.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Real quick.
Oh, God.
15, second edge was 15, and 46.
It's getting late on the East Coast.
I think that one's
dropping. That's why. We're gonna wrap it up.
Toby,
wrap it up. Save it for next week.
Yes, sir. The book of Second Ezra, chapter 15 and verse 56.
46.
And thou, Asia, that art partaker of the hope of Babylon,
uh-huh.
and art the glory of her person.
Meaning they want to be just like America,
right,
with
the same
trading,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
with the
ships, the commerce, right? Go ahead.
And thou, Asia, that art partaker of the hope of Babylon, and art the glory of her person, woe be unto thee, thou wretch, because thou hast made thyself like unto her.
Come on.
And hast decked thy daughters in whoredom.
Bishop brought this out about going into trading, about going into business, about going into commerce.
Yep.
Big business,
uh-huh.
not like little business. They're doing big.
We just read this whole
business
thing.
Bro, billions.
Because real quick.
So you're saying they ain't trying to sell T-shirts
nah.
to people.
Nah.
They ain't trying to sell T-shirts from China.
Nah.
They ain't just trying to take over with Shane.
Right.
Shane Chang told
them. They're not trying to take over with Temu.
No.
Right?
They want it all.
They want it all.
So the same tactics that the East Indian Company, which is the British, did to India, that's what I see China is doing the same thing in South America.
Exactly. That's why it says that has made itself like unto her. So the companies, the commerce, taking over places, the same thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, it's that he's trying to squeeze me for one point next week.
No. Go.
You
no,
done?
Read.
You done?
Where we
no,
at?
That's it. That's it.
That was it? Okay. Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Everybody's like.
It's more fire coming right
man.
Now, man.
Save it. Oh save it for God. Next week. Save yes, it for sir. Next week. Save it for next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. We're going to end it on that note.
Yeah,
definitely. All right. We're going to end it on that note. Mm. And Lord's Will, next week, we'll talk about the 10,000s of Ephraim, dealing
yes.
with this prophecy a little bit more. All right. The second week in a row, I haven't been able to go over it.
The Lord's building it up.
Maybe. So Lord's Will next week. We don't got nothing going on next week. Why won't you
be
here?
I'll be traveling.
Oh.
I will be traveling
next week.
Yeah, I'll be
all
traveling.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna make a joke, but
we're
going.
We're not.
That.
We're just gonna.
Yeah.
Oh, snap! Someone said you're their favorite reader now, but then another sister said it's Yuri now because you say you hate jalapenos, so you trash.
Damn. Damn.
No, she didn't say you trash, but I'm saying you.
Damn.
Hey, all praise to the Most High. I pray y'all got some stuff out of this. All right, I know we like to start with the catch up and we put
right.
some other stuff out the way, but you know, we build up. All right. Yeah. That's just the nature of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What was the title supposed to be today? The other title he said, There's a lot going on.
Oh,
the
so
plundering.
Let's just talk.
There's
wait,
a lot
wait,
going
let
on.
Say, what was it? What was the original title?
Let's just talk. There's a lot going on.
Right. Let's just talk. There's a lot going on.
That's a
how
good
be
one.
Though. That's like you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
like you know, you,
that's a good one.
That's the format of our show. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's how we roll. So, you know, I wasn't gonna mess up the flow in here by throwing Asher in here. I wasn't gonna throw Jeff Van Gundy in here.
Man.
No, I was thinking about there's no room right. for him now anyway. But I was thinking like, what happens when we get bigger?
He's gonna fit up under the desk. He was standing
like,
up right up under.
Like I was thinking. No. You know, he has a lot to say. So
yeah.
I think he would be a nice personality.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid to mess up the chemistry. He just got here. We gotta prove him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he got like the half mullet.
Well,
hang
on.
Damn.
He got the Septimius Severus.
Oh my God.
He got the Septimius. He got the little Roman statue cut
damn.
With the bangs.
They call that a soup bowl where I'm from.
Right?
Soup
is that
bowl.
A soup? Right?
Soup bowl.
It looks like you could take
yeah.
it off.
Uh-huh.
Put it
but it's
outside.
Not. It's not all the way around. It's just right. in the front.
I don't know, but like the way he combed it down, it looked like.
Well, what do you think about next week? Since this
like
guy's
yeah.
not going to be here.
Maybe we'll try him next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll try Wait. Jeff Van Gundy next week. since we'll have an extra seat in the booth.
Damn.
All praise. Let's see what's up.
New booty
hey,
in the
y'all
booth.
Y'all be safe. Y'all stay in the spirit. Stay strong. All right. Most High Christ bless you all. Shalom.
Hey, we got to do the QR code.
Oh. Just post it up. I got you.
I forgot we do stuff like that now.
Yeah.
Post it up. And then we'll close right after that. After that, just stop streaming. All right. Shalom, Israel. We're seeking your assistance to enhance our national broadcast. Just kindly spare a minute to provide feedback by answering 5 brief questions. Let us know how we did, what we can fix. All praise to the Most High. Thank you for tuning in. Shalom.
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 See, he wanted me to want to sign off.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Yasharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.